week, the director of the first Silent Hill movie reveals a new sequel for it in the works, as well as a Fatal Frame movie, which both entices me and scares me to my core. This is just a piece of enticing news. Stay tuned for the rest, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 808 of our show for this February the 2nd of 2020. Groundhog Day, Palindrome Day, the football game that a lot of people seem to watch today. Whatever it is you're into, hope you are having a great Sunday. And thank you for joining us, whether it be live here at the Voice of Geeks Network, where we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, usually right after the Bobby Blackwolf show, although he is off tonight. You, of course, could listen to us on our podcast feed, which is now available on Spotify. If you hadn't heard, you can just search for Orange Lounge Radio on Spotify, and that will come up. And then in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, Tiger Claw is pointing out it's also National Hedgehog Day. Why am I not surprised to hear that from the Sonic the Hedgehog movie's biggest fan? Techmaster Loki has some input. Hi, Loki.
I don't have any input.
Oh.
They need to stop making up all these holidays.
It's not Hedgehog Day. It's Groundhog Day.
I know. It's Groundhog. Hi, Dark Soccer, Jamie Summers. But I guess, is it because hedgehogs are adjacent to groundhogs? I don't know.
No, they're kind of not even the same genus, I think.
I don't know if that's going to pick you up unless you hold that news. We're trying out a new mic stand approach thing today, but I think
how's that?
Yeah, it's
except
good.
It puts my head on cam, so I don't know.
You might have to just kind of pick it up and hold it that way. So, all right.
There we go.
I don't even know what to ask at the top of the show, because we have a lighter turnout than usual. There's no Bobby to kind of start the viewing bandwagon here at VOG Network tonight. There's that football game on television, which I don't even know who's playing. I do. One of them's San Francisco.
Yeah.
Because everybody here is
losing their shit.
Exactly, because it's a local team. Well, I hope they're sportsing well, and may the best sportser win. Anyhow, we're going to get into video games, though. Let's just jump right into it. Let's talk about what's going on here at the top of the show with some of the news about Warcraft 3 Reforged. Have you guys heard about Warcraft
yes.
3 Reforged?
Yeah. It's not a game I'm really interested in. I didn't play a whole lot of the Warcraft RTS games, aside from like maybe demos that came with PC Gamer.
Uh-huh.
But I hear that a lot of the stuff that they promised to fix and update and change on this never happened. Like, for example, they promised, you know, completely redone cutscenes and everything in the game, and apparently they're exactly the same as they used to be.
Well, I thought some of that was intentional, because when they originally revealed this at BlizzCon, they said that Christy Golden, who did a lot of the books, was going to be writing, like, kind of rewriting some of the dialogue to kind of match
well,
the
state.
Well,
they actually showed, like, the you know, some of the cutscenes, like mm-hmm. one of the cutscenes in the game was actually in the trailer, and it was like a very cinematic cutscene. Like, they were going to be completely redoing the way the cutscenes were,
mm-hmm.
and that's not what it looks like in the game.
Interesting.
Or like redoing the UI, and that's not really a thing either.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the only, like, some of the stuff in the game, like, I'm trying to think of all the, like, bullet points other people have said. Like, I think the movement in the game is like it's locked down to 20 FPS or whatever, like the actual, like, the unit movement or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird. And then, what was the other thing? So the main thing that's been kind of like redone or whatever is like the graphics, which were outsourced to another company. And then, of course, the wonderful brand new terms of service that can't miss out on any of that Dota money clause, basically saying that, hey, anything they make for Warcraft 3, it's ours.
The thing that really – and I just want to give full disclosure, okay, because I don't necessarily want to totally dunk on this game, because the reality is I have not played Warcraft 3 Reforged. So I more just want to discuss some of, like, what I'm hearing about it online, because it's somewhat making me apprehensive to want to – you know, I've had the Blizzard launcher not on my computer for a little bit ever since some of the stuff that went on last year. You know, we kind of talked about that. I have still not really played Blizzard stuff since
Oh, and they're refusing refunds too.
But I was thinking about getting into Warcraft 3 Reforged, because I remember I liked Warcraft 1. I liked Warcraft 2. Warcraft 3 came out in a time of my life when I wasn't really gaming. So I was thinking maybe Reforged would be a good time to pick it up. But all this reaction I'm hearing is making me very apprehensive to pick it up, And I'm kind of very curious about your guys' thoughts in our chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork for those that are here tonight, especially if you have played Warcraft 3 Reforged. I'm kind of curious about your reaction. Is the internet tending to overblow this out of proportion? Because let's be real, that sometimes happens. You know, for example, I would say a lot of the hysteria that went with Pokemon Sword and Shield, at the end of the day, it's the best fucking Pokemon generation I've played. So I, you know, you can't always trust the internet pulse. But the reality is there's a lot of talk about this. And what does take me by surprise, and I'll say this, what kind of takes me by surprise with all this Warcraft 3 news is what they did to the old client. I had no idea that this was happening. So they've essentially, I guess, disabled the old client when it comes to online play. You can still play offline Warcraft in the old client, but if you want to play online, you have to get Reforged. But I think, like, I don't want to misstate it, because I believe you don't have to necessarily spend the $30 because you own the old one. You just have to buy, or you have to download. The problem people are having is that the old Warcraft 3 was like 1 gig. The new one is like 28 gigs. So you're having to download this new one so you can play online, which you can do without having to buy it. So it's not like they held everybody's old copy of Warcraft ransom. But if you want to play the story mode in Warcraft 3 Reforged and all that, then you do have to pay the money, to the $30 or whatever, in order to be able to do that. And it's just, it's, I'm kind of surprised that they just really kicked the old client in the shin like that, because I always kind of got the impression that, you know, the people that were still playing Warcraft 3 here in the year 2020 before Reforged was out probably weren't interested in what Reforged had to bring to the table. So the fact that they disabled the old client, and now you have these terms of service about you don't own your mod, that part is the part that I think is a little bit like even more yikes, because now it's, oh, not only do you have to get on a new client, but now you have to accept the terms of service that are going to say that we have a I don't want to misappropriate, but I believe it's that they have a stake in anything
They fully own anything that you create with it, including the fact that they can demand that you make more like documents available for something, and that like continued work has to be done on these things. I don't know. But it's very like aggressive, the terms of service.
Yeah.
Which to me, if I was a modder, I wouldn't be even interested in touching that stuff.
I've already decided that I'm not going back to anything Blizzard or Activision has their fingers in. I'm sticking to those guns, and I have zero interest in this. If I'm going to play Warcraft, I have a CD or DVD in my house that I could play. And if I need to emulate something to make it work, I can. I can watch the stuff online, but they are not getting my money, especially now.
Well, what's shocking about this in some ways is that for the most part, Darkstalker, what you're saying, yes, you could play Warcraft 1, you could play Warcraft 2, you could play Warcraft 3 story mode on your DVD, but the minute you try to play Warcraft 3 online, which is probably, I know you don't play a lot of games online, probably not something you would do anyway, but the minute you tried to do that, you can't do that now without this new Reforged client.
Won't and be doing it. Don't care.
But that's, but I mean, for the fact, I mean, what's, How do I eloquently put this? The fact that you're saying, for the most part, I could go back to my old games and I can go enjoy my old games. You kind of can't if you are an online gamer. Let's say we have an alternate universe where Dark Sakura is a Warcraft 3 online troll and she loves to play online and put man babies in their place.
Well, I do that anyway. But the reality is, for my situation, I don't give a fuck.
I know, but isn't it kind of screwed up that maybe the alternate universe Dark Sakura, who does enjoy multiplayer gaming, can't do it for Warcraft 3 without this new client?
Then there's better games. There are other games that will do this. If you want the lore, read the fucking books, maybe. But in the end, sometimes you've got to put your foot down.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to just say, you know what, I am done, like me and Facebook.
Interesting that you talk about the alternate, the what you just said about go find something else to play, because I don't think it made our show roll this week, because I can't remember if it happened in this last week or the week before, but we just had news about Torchlight And Torchlight came out with some really big news that their, I forget the original name of it now, but essentially
their expansion,
Distant Worlds or whatever it was called. So I know that wasn't the name, sorry. But they rebranded it as Torchlight 3.
Yes.
And it's going to be a traditional buy it once, you get everything. Like, it's the type of game that, you know, because originally the original model was like a free-to-play, microtransactions-driven thing. And essentially the audience said, we'd rather not, thanks. And they listened to their fan base. And have reverted now to, okay, it's just Torchlight 3, and it's just like Torchlight 1 and 2, but with all the things you would expect if we put the number 3 in front of it. New classes, new maps,
right.
Blah, 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 blah.
Except, see, now if this was an Activision product, they would still charge you for the game, and then still, you know, why should we pick one model to business model to go with? We can just charge you the $60 and charge you all the microtransactions like it was a free-to-play game. Because we're Activision, and fuck you!
Okay, so I'm going to turn to the chat room now because, again, admittedly, it's a little unfair of me to sit here and dunk on Warcraft 3 when I haven't played it myself. I want to see what you guys in our chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork have to say. And Questbuster shedding a little light on some things, saying, clan support is gone, competitive ranked matchmaking ladders are gone, native LAN support is gone. Oh, that's huge, too, the LAN thing. And I bet this is the thing that happened with Diablo as well. Remember that you couldn't do LAN anymore? You know the only way you can play Diablo 3 on LAN, unmodded, on the Nintendo Switch? Think about it. What is the Nintendo Switch now?
Thanks,
a LAN.
Thanks, Nintendo.
Yeah, anyway. Sometimes being 10 years behind the curve on online helps Nintendo. And this is one of those times. Anyway, where was I on Questbuster's comments here? Custom campaigns cannot be loaded, so say goodbye to the last 17 years of player-made content. If the game fails to connect to Blizzard servers for any reason, you can still boot into single player, but you can't save your progress for some reason. Oh my gosh. Blizzard missed the Dota boat, so now they're like, we need to be more aggressive now. So, interesting point from Questbuster, and let's humor Blizzard here for a minute. Maybe part of the reason they want more ownership is because they didn't really get anything out of Defense of the Ancients being a Warcraft 3 mod at the end of the day, because those guys ended up going to Valve and making Dota 2 there. I mean, yes, Blizzard made their own. There was originally Blizzard Dota, which then they got in that whole argument about who owns the name Dota, right? And so Blizzard made Heroes of the Storm, which was called Blizzard Dota at one point. So this kind of begs the question, like, Blizzard being irritated that they couldn't have anything behind.
Oh, they can't have all of the money. Poor babies. Oh, if only they had large franchises under their belt.
I will humor that angle to some extent on the basis that there would
be. Because they treated Heroes of the Storm so well.
There would be. Yeah, that's another issue. There would be no Dota without Warcraft 3, period. Right? You can't argue that. So I can see it to that element, but to assert ownership over everything does feel a little bit aggressive to me. Like, it just doesn't feel
right.
Well,
it's a new game, though. They didn't, like, just repurpose Warcraft 3 for Dota 2. They just built on, they rebuilt it from scratch. So I'm sorry. You can't take ownership of a mod. Yeah, I get it. The original one was running in your engine or whatever, but now it's not. So, tough shit.
So, I don't know. This leaves me just feeling, I don't know. Like,
I mean, isn't it really like something to think that they should have ownership of someone's own work, their mods? Like, I get it that it was a mod for a game or something, but that's not your work. You may have built the tools for it. If you didn't want people making stuff with it, then don't build the tools.
But there would be no shell for the tools without their game.
But
I
get it. I understand. But in the end of the day, it comes down to that they're angry at themselves for not putting more aggressive terms of use.
I will agree with that.
So they could own other people's content.
I will agree with that.
Bethesda's doing now. Like Activision Blizzard's doing now. That's pathetic.
And I would say what this forcing the old Warcraft players to accept a new terms of service to back park the car into ownership of mods, that is way over the and that is not, that's overcompensating what would have been.
And you know what? It's great that we live in a time now where you know the easiest to make games is much easier than it used to be. And maybe some of these folks that are thinking about modding games like Warcraft 3 Remastered, whatever, can decide, hey, you know what? Maybe instead I'll just go ahead and try something from scratch in like a Unity or Unreal Engine or something like that where I actually own the shit I'm putting together.
Which is what Dota 2 is.
Exactly.
Is that in our chat at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says derivative works, not copyright. So when you get into something where you've modded the game extensively, is it a derivative work? Now, I'm not a legal expert, so I don't know to what extent a mod could claim. But I would imagine if ultimately the name Dota ended up with Valve, with the original mod creators, then the courts must have, or I don't know, if, I think it was a settlement, so there really was no court ruling. But I was going to say things did err on the side of the mod owners got to keep the name. Blizzard didn't keep that name. They had to change it to Heroes
of the
Storm.
Especially
but I think that
like,
was a settlement.
Like say, okay, yeah, you have ownership of this mod now. However, I'm making my own thing, Dota 2. You have no ownership of that. Yeah. And they're mad that they didn't get in on that trend when they could.
Yeah.
Too bad. You had an opportunity to compete in that space. You did it poorly. What do you want?
And now they're practically guaranteeing that they're not going to have any major fan-made content apart from maybe just like something like Deadly Boss Mods, the equivalent of something like that, helper tools, but no like actual full mods.
And in my opinion, Blizzard Dota now. Heroes of the Storm, for me, was the strongest of all those Dota games. I prefer it to Dota 2 and League of Legends, be quite simply on the basis I think it's the easiest one to grab with the least amount of micromanagement going on in the game and the least toxic fans, which isn't saying much, but it is, at least from my experience, underline bolded, that is what I felt when I played Heroes of the Storm. And it really wasn't until Blizzard themselves pretty much pulled it from a trajectory where it was going by saying, oh, Heroes of the Dorm is done. Oh,
Heroes of the Dorm?
That was the esports thing, yeah. So they pulled that and they scaled way back on Heroes of the Storm, essentially saying, we're not going to support this on the level that we have been.
Because at the end of the day, it's not because the game was bad or anything. It's because I can't make enough money off of the game because I'm a greedy fucking company and a corporation. And that's what it is they wanted more money. And sorry you didn't make more money. You know what? Too fucking bad.
It just brings me to this kind of like closing thought on this topic, which is like, what's wrong, Blizzard? What's wrong? Do you guys need to talk? Do you need a hug? Like, I feel like ever since Mike Morhaime left, it's just been...
Are you okay?
Like,
Is this their call for... Is this the employee's call for help? Like, the lawyers are, like, begging for help?
I don't know. Like, what's going on, Blizz? Like, I'm at a loss. I'm legit concerned for things like Diablo 4 and Overwatch 2, which, I mean, Overwatch 2 has a whole nother controversy going on with that and, you know, the whole expansion versus new game and all that. I ain't here to touch that tonight. That's a whole nother Oprah. We can wait till the game is out to discuss that, you know, what it is.
If this was Oprah, we'd have free shit.
You're lucky that they're only charging $60 for an expansion or whatever it is.
But the reality is, like, I'm losing more and more confidence in Blizzard with every time their name has come up on this program in the last year and a half.
And I've lost it.
I know. I hear you. And, you know, you're somebody who spent a lot of time and money on World of Warcraft. I'm somebody who spent a lot of time and money on World of Warcraft. Used to have a Blizzard-focused podcast.
I donated all of my paperbacks that I had spent money on. The only ones I have are my hardcovers. I only, I think, still have my Thrall book and, like, one other, and that's it. Yeah.
Anyway, looking at some other comments from chat here, and then we'll move on to the next topic. Questbuster in chat says, in a weird roundabout way, Blizzard didn't have to change their end-user license agreement. Any ideas that could have been mined from Warcraft 3 have been mined with Dota and League of Legends, and any new games might instead take inspiration from those as opposed to something 17-plus years old. But I guess they need everything. And Azette says, Activision wants that $. Anyway, I don't know. Like, I hope Blizzard can figure out what they're doing wrong and how that's happening on a management level, because I know it ain't the frontline employees who work very hard on these visions. It ain't them. It's coming up. The call is coming from inside the house, and it's probably the biggest boardroom on the campus. It's management decisions that are screwing things up. So I hope to hell Blizzard can figure this out, or it's going to just be sad trombone every time their name comes up.
I firmly believe that when people get to the upper management level, they lose touch with the common sense part of running a company and only look at things like market research and don't think about how things are actually going to affect players unless you're dealing only with brand recognition and using the Warcraft name as money. Other than that, they're out of touch.
How many hours a week do you think executives at video game companies spend playing the games?
Not at all. Some of them.
Some of them I would say do.
I would say Phil Spencer, head of Xbox, plays a shit ton of Xbox.
Yeah.
I would say that. But you get that from that guy. He, like, how much has Xbox turned around since he took over?
You can tell who has the love.
Yes.
And then you can tell who has the love of money.
Like Don Matrick, who preceded him.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, let's move on.
Look at all the stupid decisions that came out of Sega toward the end of their console days.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. All I can do, Blizzard and executives, I'm just going to send my thoughts and prayers that y'all figure it out.
Which we know just does jack shit, so.
So this is on you guys to figure out. All right, let's move on and talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week. And while Dark Sakura starts her gaming week, I'm going to enjoy one of these is it a biscuit or is it a cookie?
Well, okay, so hold on. I'll hold it up in front of the camera real quick. I already ate one, so shut up.
Okay. So what are these? So she's holding up Viennese Whirls. Ooh, vanilla. Oh, they're actually
Downton Abbey branded.
They're Downton Abbey branded cookies.
And yes, it says $4.99 on the package. They were 30% off, and I bought the fuck out of them.
I hope Judi Dench judges me as I eat one. Okay, Dame Judi Dench.
So I went to the whole reason I went to the World Market was because they closed down the one in Elk Grove. And that's the only place I can find my Twinings Lady Grey tea, which I absolutely love and I blame Tiara for. So anyway, I have been playing Animal Crossing and Pokemon Go, really. I had a smattering of pinball. You okay there, Rob? So I had a smattering of pinball going on with this. I've also been back to playing a lot of Patterned. Just because I relaunched the game to play it on my Mac and wanted to redo the puzzles, and I'm doing all the new puzzles on my phone as well. And when I'm done with that, then I'll cry because I fucking love that game and they need more puzzles. I had that sinus infection. I was still pretty sick this last week. So every time I was going to sit down to like play something in front of me, I was like, I'll play this. No, I won't. I'll play No, I won't. So it was just a bunch of that and just staring at my phone, playing the shit on there. And then, of course, the stuff that I wanted to play at home today, I could not. I decided to not be at my house because of the superb owl. So I am avoiding sports ball like it's a plague, because it is right now. Loki.
I actually played a few things this week. I played Orna some more, so I'm level 122. And I did make it a point to actually play a few other things. So I went back and booted up Minecraft, the Bedrock edition, because I'm still looking at doing a Bedrock server, but I wanted to research more on like how servers work on the Bedrock edition. I haven't really done anything like that. So I have to look and see. I still have to figure out if the PlayStation 4 supports servers. Currently, they just got the Bedrock edition in December, and I don't know if that was part of it, the server part. So I'll have to see. And then the other game, I picked up Deer Simulator, which I haven't played yet, but it's a really weird...
Is that the game they have at every Walmart?
No, this is more like Goat Simulator. It's just ridiculous, stupid.
I'm thinking of Big Game Hunter. That's...
You're thinking Big Game Hunter.
Deer Hunter Simulator. Oops, big difference.
Yes, big difference. The other game I played, which is also kind of a simulator game, is called The Coin Game. And The Coin Game is basically a first-person arcade patron simulator game. So you go and you play all of the ticket spitter games that you possibly could want to play. They have all of your favorites there, and then
there's a ticket spitter simulator.
It's a ticket spitter simulator. So you actually
recursive.
What they have right now is basically it's just they call it birthday mode. You start off with $50. It's really unlimited money, and then you earn money tickets, and you get prizes and stuff like that. But they're gonna have a survival mode that they're building in right now. That basically the way that works is you go your kids, so you have certain hours that you can be in the arcades and stuff because you have your curfew and stuff. So you go, win stuff with these tickets, you get prizes, you take them to a pawn shop and you pawn them off and you get money. And it just,
for
it's
tickets?
Like, yeah. And then you have your own house and everything. So you can actually get the prize. This is kind of part of the game too right now, is you can actually, any prizes you can go to your house and you can go put them on your walls and stuff like that. And it's just, it's ridiculous.
I feel like I want to play a ticket spitter simulator game that's mixed with Five Nights at Freddy's. And so the premise is tickets or death.
Tickets or death?
Yes. Would you play Dark Sakura? Would you play tickets or death?
I'll have the chicken.
Well, it is a game that they made in Unity, so I guess you could potentially do it. But like, I have to say, like, the physics of the games are pretty spot on, if not a little bit more forgiving. Like, I know the claw games, definitely more forgiving, but it still has that limp claw physics and everything, and they've got, you know, just like all the, but in, and on top of that though, like, and I haven't really gotten to play through much of it, but they have multiple arcades you can go to, including a Midway, and not only do they have ticket games there, but they have go-karts, they have laser tag, and they've got like other, like,
oh, this is why you downloaded it. It's the virtual laser tag part of Ticket or Die.
It looked really fun just to mess around with. So yeah, the coin game, it was fun messing around with that, but yeah, so that's what I played this week.
For my gaming week, I was traveling out of town a few days for work this week, so that kind of cut into my gaming time. Although I did bring my Switch, so at the hotel I was able to play a little bit of Pokemon Shield and work on my Pokedex a little bit. And I was playing some of the classic Super Nintendo archive stuff, so playing some Super Metroid and some Link to the Past, just a little bit. And a little more Sayonara Wild Hearts too, just because I was randomly thinking about that game, and I was like, I shall play this game. When I was at home, still continuing on Final Fantasy XIV, my friends made me, because I was really resistant for a long time, to do the new 24-man raid, the Copied Factory, which is the one that's inspired by Nier. So I really kind of just didn't want to do it, because sometimes those new raids, like, they're just a mess, and, you know, you wipe a bunch, and it's like, so much time to get through. But it didn't end up being that bad, I guess. It was fine. I was also kind of like, okay, we got through it. The music was really good, and it was a really pretty kind of raid. But then I was also kind of like, okay, you guys were like hyping that up a lot. And it, the music was really good, though. I will say that. The music was really great, especially in that last fight that you do in the Copied Factory. So I did finally go through that, and I've just been working on random stuff in Final Fantasy XIV. So yay for MMOs. And yay for continued adventures in No Man's Sky. I've still been playing that. I've probably played more No Man's Sky this time around than any other time I've revisited the game.
Yeah.
Because every 9 months or so I end up, ooh, what's new in No Man's Sky? Let's go visit it.
I was visiting my Steam library and I noticed I did not have No Man's Sky installed on my computer. So I did that, but I've yet to go back and actually play it.
All right. Okay, well, if that's it for our gaming weeks, then we will move on and get into some more stories for tonight. Just housekeeping. We're in February now, right? So there's not going to be a live show. Actually, it would be March 1st. It's not going to be. But I'm hoping we can tape something in advance, because I'm going to be gone March 1st and March 8th. I've mentioned this on the show before, but I'm going off with the Starboard Power Coupling kids onto the Star Trek cruise. I'm very excited about it.
I actually think one of those days I had a sistery thing to do anyway. So
okay, well, then I guess out. That works out. So Yeah, so March 1st and March 8th, no live shows, although Bobby Blackwolf will be here, and I'm hoping we will have at least for one of those weeks something ready to go. Because so, you know I hate going 2 weeks. I hate going 1 week missing a show, but I really hate going 2 weeks. So.
Well, I'm also going to say that I'm going to be doing a gaming-related thing in April. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not going to affect the show, but I will be talking about it, mm-hmm. is that our local leather bar, The Bolt, has a gamer night. Every third Friday.
I've been. I went to one of the first ones, and I got to be honest. I hope maybe they've learned, because like when I went, all it was that on the TVs, they were playing Smash Brothers. And I was kind of like, hopefully they've
April's
added on
April is going
it.
To be classic games.
Oh, fun.
So I will be there in face as a sister, but I will gladly also report on it for the show.
I want to go.
Yeah, go. Well, it's also my friend's birthday.
I have to mention.
You want to go to Leather Daddy Bar with us?
Not really. Well, not that I could. Yeah, I'm sure that'd be fun, but I don't think I get the time.
Kids, wife, I get it.
Yeah. So I wanted to mention, and I don't remember if I mentioned this last week or before, but like there's this 80s cafe that's
The one here in Rancho.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I know that
so
place.
They've got like arcade games in there as well, and plus mm-hmm. you can pay like a buck and they have like console games set up and everything.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they have the servers are dressed up as well in costumes. So they have one guy that's dressed up like Ernest P. Worrell. And who's the other guy?
Is that the guy from the Ernst films?
Yes.
Hey,
yeah.
Oh, my God. Hey, Vern.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah,
he died.
That's great.
Yeah, Jim Varney.
Azette is saying that I got a Pokestop added there. So if you have spun the Pokestop at the 80s cafe, thank Azette.
But yeah, it's definitely worth checking out because their food looks pretty good, too. They have a Cap'n Crunch milkshake. I should – damn it. That's where I was going to go for Sunday for dinner. I was thinking, there's a place I was going to go to stop. I'm like, what was it? I can't think of it. And so I ended up getting a sandwich today. Damn it. Damn it, damn it, damn it.
All right.
Azette says Tetris Tots.
All right. Well, okay. Oh, it's Tetris Tots. All right. We will go forth into the community while we have a couple weeks of no live show and bring back some reports. But
you know, I actually don't own anything leather except for a belt and some shoes.
I don't either, but Alan does, and we're not going to talk about that on my live internet podcast.
Well, I'm just saying that I would feel that maybe I'll have to like do like at least my wimple or something, you know. But at any rate, you know, it's also, though, my friend's birthday and 2 days before my birthday. So.
Oh, okay. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. All right. I guess we can move on then. Let's get into some gaming news and some of the stories from the week. So, Loki, I think we'll start with you.
Yes.
Speaking of Pokestops, sort
of. Speaking of Leather Daddies, Pokemon Home is a brand new service that they're going to try to milk some more money out of you because, hey, you know how you're paying for Nintendo Online? That's not online enough for Pokemon. We need some more money because storing those Pokemon is hard. And so they will have a basic service, which is free, or you can get the premium service, which is $3 a month or $16 a year. And so basically the way it goes, this is going to be kind of replacing the old Pokemon Bank. If you get the basic service, you can, I guess, deposit 30 Pokemon. You can place 3 of them in the Wonder Box at one time, which I don't know how that works. I don't know if that's like you put something in and hope you get something good out of that. And then, of course, they have one Pokemon that you could put in the GTS at once. You can participate in Rube trades, and then they have the judge function is unavailable. Platinum, it jumps up quite a bit, so you can move Pokemon from the Pokemon Bank. With that, you can store up to 6,000 Pokemon. 30 and 6,000 seems quite the jump. You can put 10 Pokemon in the Wonder Box at once. 3 Pokemon can be placed in GTS. You can participate and host.
You
want
to go to the
trades.
Wonder Box, little Pikachu? You want to go to the Wonder Box? What's the Wonder Box?
I don't know.
The Wonder Box sounds like you get to drink from the fire hose.
Yes.
That's what it sounds like.
Yes. I don't know. But I do know, like, they had a, and it's not in this article, but they had, like, a diagram talking about how.
Thank you, Fifth Dream. Wonder Box equals trading. I knew some. Is Shane not here tonight? He must actually be watching the Super Bowl or something. Fifth Dream's helping us out. Wonder Box equals trading. Thank you.
So they have, like, a diagram, because apparently the way you can move Pokemon through this, and I think this works with Pokemon Go as well, is they can only go in certain directions. So, like, for example, with...
There's a fucking diagram about, like, how this... The square peg can go in this square hole, but not this round hole, and Pikachu from here can go there, but Pikachu, once he's there, can't go back, so you better make sure... Like, it's fucking complicated.
Yes.
Yeah. But I... On one hand, I kind of get it, and I give him a pass because, you know, we're talking about Pokemon that date all the way back to the Game Boy from 1990, and technologies have changed quite a bit. And then you have the complication of you have that old game, but then we had the virtual console versions of those games that would allow you to put things into the Pokemon
bank.
But now I don't know how Home changes that. Is Pokemon Home going to be on 3DS? Because if not,
Pokemon Home is probably not going to be on 3DS. No. And Pokemon Home is replacing Pokemon Bank. And only if you get premium can you move this Pokemon from Pokemon Bank to Pokemon Home.
Well, all right then.
I can tell you that sounds like a whole bunch of bullshit that I don't want to mess with.
Well, I mean, it's cloud storage or whatever, but it's not a lot. Like,
how much storage really is it going to cost?
I'm not going to defend the high price tag, but I'm going to be like, if they want to charge a couple bucks, then fine. You know, it is an ongoing service and servers aren't free, but it's a little high for what you're really getting.
I want to say that, like, this is about three times as expensive as Pokemon Bank was. I don't remember, but. I know this is several times more expensive than it was before, with not as many features, I would imagine.
All right. Well, I don't know. I'll probably still check it out. Oh, sorry. Yes, I'm being corrected by
1996,
chat.
1996, not 1998.
Yeah, but I had said the Game Boy dates back to 1990, which it does, but you guys are right. Pokemon was a very late... Game Boy game. It was right on the cusp of the Game Boy Color, because I remember Pokemon Yellow was like a Game Boy Color game, basically. Because I had a Game Boy Color that was a little Pikachu, and when you turned it on, you remember how the power light was red? It was one of Pikachu's cheeks. It was really cute. Anyway, that's how Pokemon gets away with it, Loki, because it's cute.
Because you all suckers.
All right. Speaking of being suckers, I'm a sucker for Pokemon Go. I know that game is a whole lot of fun. And Pokemon Go rolled out some big new features this week, including the Go Battle League, which means you can actually start to fight other trainers and not just like 3-star friends or more on your list. You can actually fight randos and you get some rewards for winning certain battles. And you have a rank that you can slowly increase and so forth. So we're in preseason leagues right now, and the Great League battles are going on right now.
I've been playing it a little bit.
Have you? I did too.
Just like one.
I must confess, I hate this feature. I hate it. I don't. But I'm not a big fan of PvP in the Pokemon games. That's never really been it for me. And let's be real, the battle in Pokemon Go is not what it is in the mainline Pokemon games. It's very different.
And I like it.
I like the raids. I like the PvE. This is another case of I'm totally fine with PvE, but I'm feeling forced into PvP that I don't want to do. Why am I feeling forced? Because there's rewards, and they're gated behind wins. And some of those rewards happen to be other Pokemon that are new into the game. So you can only get them, right now anyway, through winning battles in this league, and I hate it, to be honest. It's just, they're not that fun to me. The raids are completely different, because you can turn that into a social thing. I like meeting my Ingress friends at the park and taking on a 3- or 4-star raid, whatever's there, maybe a 5-star, depending on what it is. That is fine. Being forced or feeling like I'm forced to do PvP to unlock certain Pokemon is not fine. And son of a bitch, I'm just realizing I never did spin a stop for that fucking quest day that was today. So I was busy doing other stuff this afternoon.
What was the quest?
It's another new Pokemon that was only out between like 2 and 5 o'clock today, the day of the Super Bowl. They decided to do... this
brilliant.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm hearing that that Pokemon will be in eggs. So it's not that it's gone forever, but it's Let me just irritating. Yeah.
But, well, at the very least, I got my shiny Magikarp today, so I can finally have a red Gyarados.
I'm curious, too, about the Pokemon Community Day vote, because that was something that was going on yesterday. There's so much shit that goes on in Pokemon Go now, which is fine. I mean, I do applaud. And even though I hate this battle system, I do applaud that at least it's a pretty major thing that they've added to the game. So at least Niantic and the developers are continuing to enhance the game. And that part's kind of cool. But
I like it because I've steamrolled over everybody.
I guess. I won a battle and then I lost two. So I was like, whatever. SG100 Matt says, I'm doing the battling for the rewards. I'm kind of with Rob on this. The PvP doesn't enhance the game for me, especially in its current battle form. And Azette says, what? I did it and Rob didn't? Delete the quest. If you got an extra one of those things, trade me, please, because I didn't get one. I'm sure other people I know went and got like 18 shinies of whatever it was. What was the Pokemon they gave out today? I don't remember. Some mousy Pokemon that I didn't end up getting.
I was trying to show my 37 Magikarp.
Are you near a nest or something? Or did you just unlock
There's
that
many? So many of them out here. Like, everywhere I go, Magikarp.
Oh, it's because it ties into the Valentine's event, which is almost over, I think. Wait. Well,
I finally got my shiny, so I'm happy, but whatever.
I'm sorry, I take that back. It's not the Valentine's event, it's the year of the it's the Lunar New Year event.
So is it also then the year of the unnecessary stupid fish?
Well, you know how like red is good luck?
Yeah.
So what they're doing is they up the spawns of red or red adjacent Pokemon. Now, even though Magikarp is orange, shiny Magikarp turns into red Gyarados. So that's why you're seeing more Magikarp. Is because the red Gyarados.
Lots of
seems
Magmar,
like a stretch,
Marmar.
But okay.
It's a little bit of a stretch, but whatever. I mean,
it's better than a ton of those love discs, because what the hell am I going to do with those?
I like the events that shake up the meta of the usual spawns, so I'm not going to complain about all the Magikarps. The other one I'm seeing a ton of,
the crab things.
The corefish. The Fungus, one of the new ones.
Oh, yeah, which I like that Fungus turns into Among Us.
Yeah.
Because there's a Fungus Among Us.
Thank you, SSJ100 Matt. Mini Shino was the special Pokemon today. Thank you. So that's the one that I didn't bother to get. But just at some point, I'll go visit Shane, and I know he has like 20 shinies already, I'm sure. And
see, I would think if they were going to do pretty stuff, I would have like your special quest one to be a Milotic or something, because they're so pretty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, there's going to be plenty more events coming to Pokemon Go in the future as well. I know they're subbing out the Legendary pretty soon. What's also interesting about the battle thing is that you can either just pay coins to unlock more battles, right? Money, money, money. But the other interesting way to unlock is walking 5 kilometers. So if you walk 5 kilometers, you can also, which isn't that hard to do, especially if, you know, you're following the good guidelines of getting out walking every day, and you have an Adventure Sync enabled device, which pretty much any Apple phone at this point has that.
And it's now in Harry Potter.
And now Harry Potter Woo has it too. And I've been making use out of that in that game for sure as well. So, that's great. So anyhow, at least, you know, even if this feature is not my cup of tea, I am also very happy to hear that they're still developing a lot of shit for Pokemon Go. So that's pretty cool. SG100 Matt says, I also didn't do the event. My girlfriend traded me a bunch of hers. Well, that was very nice of your girlfriend to do. All right. Well, let's move on. Dark Sakura. Less Pokemon. More horror movies.
I also just realized I had like 18 Rattatas.
Time to send them to the blender.
The professor can deal with all this vermin. Anyway, okay, so I have made no secret that I love the Silent Hill movie. I love Christoph Gans for doing it. I even liked the crappy sequel. It wasn't great, but it was Silent Hill 3, and that made me happy. At any rate, there is a quote now from Christoph Gans where he was talking about his current projects during an interview with a French film site called Allocine. And I'm just going to read the quote, because it brings up more than one thing. I have two horror film projects with Victor Hadida. I'm working on the adaptation of video game Project Zero, which was Fatal Frame over here. The film will take place in Japan. I especially don't want to uproot the game from its Japanese haunted house setting. And we're also working on a new Silent Hill. The project will always be anchored in this atmosphere of a small American town ravaged by Puritanism. I think it's time to make a new one. One of the other things this goes on to say is that his favorite Silent Hill character, though, was James Sunderland, who was the protagonist of Silent Hill 2. So maybe we'll get something actually related to him. That would be kind of cool. Although I really did like the vibe of the first one with following, the themes of motherhood going on through it.
I never noticed, too, in the first movie that all of the characters were women except for Sean Bean but he was like, he never went to Silent Hill in the first movie.
None of the male characters did.
Yeah, exactly. So all of the characters that were in Silent Hill were women. I never noticed that until it was pointed out.
I think that some of the church people might have been, but all of the main characters. I'll have to double check it. But, and the only other male characters that were within Silent Hill were portrayed as male, like the Red Pyramid and the janitor.
Red Pyramid kind of struck me as a genderless kind of thing, though. I mean, maybe I'm just, I don't know.
Well, I mean, not in the games.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
But the fact that even those two were played by men in that universe, and one of them was supposed to have been the janitor that affected Alessa, or assaulted, I should have said. And then the other one was, of course, the Red Pyramid. So another thing to throw in there.
Azette points out the little girl is in Dark Matter, which rocks.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. So, that's cool that we get the Silent Hill movie, that's going to continue on. And Christoph Gunn's doing that is good because...
I think he'd do Fatal Frame well as well.
Yeah, I'd be curious about a Fatal Frame. You know, the other thing that kind of strikes me as funky, though, about this news, it's cool that we're getting, more video game movies of things we're into, but I'm really surprised with how freaking well The Witcher did on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know The Witcher was books, but let's be real.
Game.
The games helped.
There are three games.
Yeah. So I'm kind of surprised we're not talking TV shows at this point. Like, I'm surprised we're not talking about what video games are Hulu looking at and Amazon Prime and the other. Because we also know that the same company optioned Final Fantasy XIV that made The Witcher. So we don't know what they're doing with it yet. But obviously, as a fan of 14, I'm really intrigued. But I'm just surprised in general we're not talking about more video games becoming television series. There's fan wank every other month about The Legend of Zelda becoming a Netflix series of some sort. And I'm kind of surprised we're not, with how well, again, The Witcher's done, we're not kind of talking about that. Or something like, can you imagine if The Elder Scrolls became a TV series? I mean, The Elder Scrolls seems like something that's perfect for that sort of thing. But maybe it's too much high fantasy. Maybe that would be too much, because The Witcher... it seems like The Witcher is doing very well. Well, for two reasons. The Witcher is doing very well because, number one, Henry Cavill is nice to look at.
I don't think he's attractive in that show.
And then number two, The Witcher is doing well because it's filling a void for many people left by Game of Thrones, especially the subpar last season of Game of Thrones. I'm hearing that people are checking out The Witcher because it's a lot of the same type of high fantasy that, the Game of Thrones delivered. So kind of interesting.
There's another quote in here that I really like because it's how I feel about the first movie, about Back to Silent Hill, that Gunn considers it to be a beautiful memory, and he had a great sense of satisfaction when it was released.
Fifth Dream today says Mandalorian means a Mass Effect show. Can you imagine a Mass Effect TV show? I don't want them to do it because they wouldn't get it right.
I just finished The Mandalorian. That was a great TV show. That was a very well done.
To step aside for just a second about The Mandalorian, I had a lot of Firefly vibes for it being the space western. And having some of that same little quirkiness thrown in amongst the seriousness, I really had such a good feeling from that show.
I still haven't watched Mandalorian. I'm like, I'm so uncool.
Girl.
Well,
Did you finish The Good Place?
No, I sure haven't. I'm only halfway through season three. No, everybody is talking about how, most TV finales, people are like, meh. But I have not heard a single bad thing about The Good Place finale. No spoilers.
No spoilers.
But everybody is saying it's perfect. That it ended very well.
Yes.
And that there will never be another show like it, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Wow. I'm so curious. So, all right. Anyhow. All right. Well, until then, let's move on. So one thing I know I will not be playing or watching The Good Place on is a brand new Switch, right?
Well, you're probably not going to be watching it on the Switch anyways, because I don't think they really have a lot of
They have Hulu.
Oh, yeah, and yeah. I guess Netflix a little bit, but...
Netflix. YouTube and Hulu.
They don't have Netflix on?
They do not have Netflix on the Switch. No, that's a sore spot right now, yeah.
Really?
Weird, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I swear it.
They don't have
maybe
CBS
I'm thinking
either.
Of the Wii U. Anyways.
You know what? Random, but you know what was really cool? And I got to give props to this because I was at a hotel. I was at a Hyatt hotel for work this week. And I brought my Switch dock and my Switch to plug into the TV, which was really easy to do because they put HDMI ports on the side of the TV now. They realize that people want to plug in their own shit, so they do. But all these TVs they have in the hotel now have Chromecast built in, so I wanted to watch Star Trek Picard because I hadn't seen that yet, right? Well, all I had to do, I just went onto the phone and paired it, and then, ta-da, my CBS All Access just – because there's, you know, there's no app on the TV for CBS All Access, but there is on the phone. I was able to just play Star Trek Picard on the TV and catch up on what I'd missed, which was awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, sorry for the random tangent, but I just – it was one of those – I love technology, and I love when the hotels, like, are actually current on technology. That was a really good feeling.
So anyways, apparently they said despite the rumors that there was going to be some sort of fancier pro version of the Switch coming out, they have – their latest financial report from Nintendo basically said – please note, we have no plans to launch a new Nintendo Switch model during 2020.
I'm really glad they gave this heads up, honestly.
I just think it's not coming in 2020, that it'll be 2021.
Oh, no, sure. Oh, of course. Of course, Loki. But I'm glad that they kind of put to bed the talks of, oh, boy, now I'm going to have to buy a PlayStation 5 and a Switch Pro this year. I think Nintendo was smart to maybe back off a little bit and instead do the... you know, the Switch in a year where they're not launching new consoles from PlayStation and Xbox. So, good. Yeah, it's not like the current Switch is bad by any means. And no. Some people really love that Switch Lite. So they've got plenty right now. So they're going to wait a little longer on the Switch Pro. And I think that's fine. So, and now I don't have to worry about buying three new consoles this year.
And I wasn't really worried about it anyways, but like, I don't know. Just can we fix the analog sticks on the controllers, please?
Fifth Dream today says, what? No two-screen Switch? Damn. I don't know if the Switch is going to go two-screen. I just don't really see that happening. I would if they wanted to emulate DS or 3DS games, all you would have to do is tilt the existing Switch on its side and have a black line in the middle. Like, if they wanted to do 3DS or regular DS games, they could. Hello, Clubhouse Games returning on Switch. Wouldn't that be nice? Pod Culture believes the Switch Lite is awesomer. And it just depends on your preference. Like, if you pretty much only play the Switch in undocked mode, then yeah, the Switch Lite's probably going to be better for you. I prefer to play in docked mode, but I also realize there's more people in the other camp than me.
That's how I play.
Yeah, I know. That's how a lot of people tell me they play, but I prefer the docked mode. So, all right, well, let's move on. I was just talking about hotels a minute ago. Funny enough, we have a story about, and I'm kind of... this is just not the business I expected this company to get into, but I guess wherever they can actually make a dime, they'll do it. It's Atari. Atari is investing in the hotel business. And as much as I would want to point and laugh because, haha, Atari has not made a lot of great decisions in the last few years, and let's be real, that VCS is going to be a gigantic flop. Like, sorry to sound so rude, and like I'm not even giving the thing a chance, but why should I? Like, there's no reason to give the Atari VCS a chance. It's likely going to fly. Is anybody buying an Atari VCS in chat? Anybody? So it's interesting to hear about Atari getting into other industries based on their nostalgia. I was just talking to friends about this recently, and the question came up that was like, how is Atari even still around? Like, what has Atari really done? And I'm like, Atari is still around on the strength of their catalog. It's like that one-hit wonder that wrote a song like 30 years ago that they still play on the radio. Like, quick, can you name the last Simple Minds album?
Don't you forget about it.
Exactly. You know what?
It's not the album, but
it doesn't. Simple Minds never has to write another hit because "Don't You Forget About Me," which actually was written for Billy Idol. I don't even think they wrote it. the money they make off that song. You probably retire off it, you know, when you got a song that big. I'm trying to think of other like gigantic one-hit wonders that still get played on the radio to this day.
Well, I mean, there's always Take on Me, but Wham was really huge in Europe.
You mean
not
Aha?
Wham. Why did I say Wham? Aha. Uh-huh.
It made it funnier, don't worry.
Well, I mean, Wham did better things when it split up.
Yeah, for sure. So, anyway. excuse me. Pixel Paca says, I don't want the VCS. I do want the Intellivision Amico, though. Well, but Intellivision, we all know, is doing their own completely different thing, and this ain't about that, but I do agree with you to that extent, Pixel Paca. Oh.
That actually reminded me of one little thing. I did get a new Atari 7800 game.
Oh, what's that?
I got a baby Pac-Man.
I didn't even know they made that on the 7800.
They didn't. It's a, I think it was either a prototype that someone finished.
Gotcha.
But I'm just saying, I have Atari stuff, and I have a baby Pac-Man in my house that is not as good as the real thing, but pretty good.
Okay, sorry. I got in a coughing fit there, and Jamie brought that up to help me out here. So let's go back to talking about Atari. So Atari is getting into the hotel industry. Since Atari's strength, and the point I was trying to make, is that a lot of the money they are still making is off their back catalog and the strength of, you know, Atari Retro. And I love Atari Retro. I have that freaking Atari hoodie that I love so much that actually looks like the wood paneling. Pretty much it's in every other selfie I've ever taken of myself because I love that fucking hoodie. Anyhow, Atari is going to try to mix this nostalgia people love about them and mix it with the hospitality industry. So the company has signed a contract that will have the Atari license name and branding in line with a real estate developer who is building 8 hotels in the U.S. Phoenix will be the home of the first Atari hotel, but there will also be hotels in Austin, Chicago, Denver, Las Vegas. Does that mean an Atari casino too? Interesting.
That would be rad.
That would be rad, actually. San Francisco, San Jose, and Seattle. So there'll be some not far from here because San Francisco and San Jose aren't far.
Nifty 805, though, is like how I feel about it. I don't want an Atari-themed hotel. I need a Gamer X.
How about a Gamer X at the Atari Hotel?
Okay, I can deal with that.
Okay. See, por qué no los dos. Anyway.
Now we should have a Chuck E. Cheese hotel since, you know, we're throwing nostalgia stuff. Everyone can have a hotel now.
Now,
hey, what's the Coleco doing nowadays?
You get a hotel and you get a hotel.
Here's what might surprise you about. So it's not just a hotel with the Atari logo on it. They are trying to theme these a little bit. So what are they going to do with the Atari hotels? Esports studios. We don't know any more than just that there will be esports studios. But it all, I mean, okay, you go to any hotel, they have ballrooms, meeting room, conference rooms. So branding one of these rooms as an esports studio, okay, it makes sense, right? I'm kind of into it. I'm very curious. There will also be an Atari gaming playground at every Atari hotel. The playgrounds, we don't know, again, what that is besides the name, but speculation is that it could be like lounges for guests. Maybe it'll have some gaming PCs in there. And then, of course, pool, gym, restaurants, bars, bakeries, movie theaters in every building as well. So kind of interesting. Atari is simply licensed. They will not have any direct hand in the design of the hotels or what the hotels will feature.
Probably a good thing considering the VCS.
The hotel Atari will receive 5% of the hotel revenues. They got an advance of $600,000 for licensing the brand to the developer. That is pretty rad. So, like, I have to admit, like, I'm intrigued. Because it doesn't just sound like a different direction for Atari. It sounds like a hotel that's being built with a very specific generation in mind, namely the generation we're pretty much all in, like that kind of the blurred line of Gen X and millennials, right? I've heard it called Zillennials, right? That blended
Zennials.
Term. Zennials, thank you. I've heard it called, and I love this name. Have you ever heard it called the Oregon Trail generation? Because I've heard it called that, and I think that's perfect. So the gap between like Gen X and millennials is the Oregon Trail generation. Perfect. So it sounds like these hotels are kind of like a new thought of like how to make a hotel appealing to like a different crowd. And I honestly, with the minute you guys said like an Atari themed casino, potentially, assuming they're building one in Vegas, that sounds kind of awesome. I'd visit, wouldn't you guys?
Especially
if they do have, don't sound too excited, especially if they have like the classic gaming stuff, like when I go up to Reno, I like to go to Peppermill because they have like the
That's always where Dan stays when work takes him to Reno.
Right, because they have the classic games in the arcade.
And all that pinball.
Yeah, it's gotten a little weaker over the years, but it's still the strongest thing they have in Reno as far as like classics go. So imagine if Atari were to milk that with these classic game spaces, like classic game arcades. Fuck yeah, like I'd totally be into that. And that's something that all ages can really enjoy. So, oh, I think it's cool. So...
arcade games in all the rooms.
Yeah. Well, maybe. An Atari VCS in every room. Yay. Okay. Let's see. Sia Tabiri says, my new term learned this week. Wea boomers. People who insist anime was best before 2000.
That doesn't necessarily make sense.
Are you a Wea boomer, Dark Sakura?
Personally, my favorite anime came out before I was born, so, I mean, I'm not the right one to talk about that. I mean, keep in mind, my favorite...
Okay, Wea Boomer.
My favorite anime is Science Ninja Team Gatchaman, and you want to know who's responsible for that, right? Yoshitaka Amano.
All right, well, at least there, I think you're not alone in loving your Gatchaman. And DJ Rama S in chat says 1996 to 2010 when anime was the best. Okay, Wea Boomer. All right.
Well, come on, though. That was when we had, well, actually a little bit earlier than that, we had Samurai Troopers, which was Ronin Warriors over here. We had Dragon Ball Z, if you want to talk about like the good stuff, you know, that everyone got into. Ranma, we had, what else? There was also Cowboy Bebop. There was Evangelion. That was really kind of like the golden age of modern anime. So I'm going to say...
Okay. SJ100 Matt about the Atari Hotel says, I'd check it out, but I would like to see it built. Projects like this tend to fall apart before a shovel has hit the ground. Disney tried this similar thing years ago. Not a hotel, but game centers. Very, very good point. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves until they actually put one up.
Fall apart before it's even built? That sounds just like the VCS.
That sounds just like an Atari thing to happen. But remember, Atari just licensed out their name. So we'll see what happens. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. We're going to take a trip down memory lane. I know it's a little earlier in the show than we usually do it, but Dark Sakura is going to have to leave a little early tonight.
Because my work schedule's garbage.
So we're going to get to the classic game of the week, and we're going to take a trip down memory lane and visit a simpler time when there were not Atari-themed hotels. In fact, you couldn't even bring your Atari to a hotel. It was too complicated to hook up. But if you did bring it to a hotel and get it working, I mean, props for you.
I mean, I did used to sneak my NES to a hotel.
I brought a Super Nintendo, I think, once to a convention. But anyway, it's the classic game of the week. And actually, I think what you picked is a little newer than that stuff because, again, you only have to be 10 years old to be a classic game of the week. I think what tonight's pick is probably somewhere around, I guess, maybe 15? Maybe?
2001.
Okay. Oh, okay. Wow. Almost 20?
Almost
shit.
20.
All right. Well, here it is. The classic.
That's still a surprising one.
Yeah. Dark Sakura, what did you pick for the classic game of the week?
I picked Zone of the Enders, which I was trying to think of, like, what was some of the last good stuff that Konami did, right? And Zone of the Enders was pretty fucking amazing, I think. It was a really good game. I wasn't any good at it, but hey. So, and the thing that I liked about it is I really did sort of like this mecha combat style that was going on. I mean, I love, what was the game, Cyber Sled, I love Virtual On, and this is right up there with it, but, you know, just a little bit newer of a vibe. So anyway, it is set... in space, around Jupiter. And you play as a colonist named Leo Stenbuck, who is a survivor of a colony after it was attacked. And you control his mecha, which is called an orbital frame called Jehudi. I always mispronounce it because, like I said, I hardly played the game because I wasn't great at it. But it was supposed to be a more realistic take on the mecha genre. The mecha was designed by Shinkawa Yoji, who did the mecha design for Metal Gear. So, you know, another reason I'm bringing this up, it has a lot of ties with the Metal Gear series. And it was, however, criticized for being a short game with poor localization. But the game in general was still overly well-received. It did come out on March 21st, 2001 in Japan. And then in April in North America and Europe, and it came out on the PlayStation 2. There also was quite another bit that was tied into it. We had a spinoff for Game Boy Advance called The Fist of Mars. And then, that was Game Boy Advance. And The Second Runner, which was a sequel for the PlayStation 2. There was, speaking of anime from before, Sunrise, one of the, I'd say, one of the greater animation studios, did two anime that were related to Zone of the Enders. And then the game was re-released on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, along with Zone of the Enders, The Second Runner, in October 2018 as the Zone of the Enders HD Collection. So,
which, by the way, for those watching on Twitch right now, you're seeing footage from the HD collection. The original did not look this good.
Yeah, but
it's the same game.
It's the same game. Yeah. So anyway, it is a third person hack and slash game where you are a child that pilots a mecha, and you basically go around to different parts of the space colony that orbits Jupiter and attack these rogue mecha, other orbital frames, and you have to, you know, minimize damage around you, use strategic combat. You have ranked, your battles are ranked to see, you know, based on how well you do within your parameters. And then you can go different ways. You know, it's a nonlinear path that you can take. And you also have to find this ore called Metatron ore to repair your mecha. It's you've got, you know, your usual type of mecha combat. You have lock-on targeting for things at a distance. You have a energy sword and a projectile and other sub-weapons. And your arsenal will grow the further you want to make it through the game. And after you beat the game, you get a versus mode where you can compete against an AI or another character. So frame versus frame. The game was originally under development for the original PlayStation and the PC, but Konami didn't really want to actually release them on that. They also had prototypes built for the Dreamcast. They were really focusing on the anime style for the robots, but adding more realism to it to compare with other sci-fi at the time. And then they wanted to write it. Actually, the scenario writer, Okamura Noriaki, wanted to do a serious story that had complicated lives, and it was supposed to examine the purpose and nature of life. And so there were wanted to avoid having multiple endings, although there were different side quests that could have different endings. And so they also wanted to tell the story through gameplay instead of cutscenes. So, I mean, the game really, I think, it delivered in the style. It delivered in story. I mean, the localization, again, left some to be desired, but the action was really good on it. And, yeah, I'd agree with the complaint that it probably could have been a longer game. But, I mean, just look how pretty it is. I mean, this is the HD one again, but even when the original came out, it was pretty, pretty.
Some comments from chat. SSG100 Matt says, I bought this to get the Metal Gear Solid 2 demo and being totally surprised about how awesome Zone of the Enders was. And Hype Mayhem saying, I remember that a lot of folks bought Zoe, if only because of the included Metal Gear Solid 2 demo.
Well, yeah. I hadn't gotten to that yet. Thank you, chat room.
Oh, sorry.
So, okay. So, yeah, it came with a demo. So, there, that part's talked about. But at any rate, it may, for Metacritic, it had an average score of 78 out of 100. And they thought the biggest praise it got was because of the use of the cinematography in the game with the camera following the mecha. And GamePro actually preferred it to Armored Core 2 because it was responsive and quick and that the design was highly detailed. But yeah, most of the people were just like, it was too short, and they thought that the voice acting was emotionless. And being really, some people reported just being really annoyed by the voice acting in it, that there were people from whiny to dead. Which, I mean, early video game voice acting, I think, was a little bit hit or miss. But then again, we also had just gotten off of having really amazing voice acting, like, you know, again, we came out of Metal Gear, for example, another, you know, relating back to that. But yes, it did have the Metal Gear Solid 2 Sons of Liberty demo, which probably drove most of the sales of this game. But it was, you know, really, really just a fun little game. And like I said, we had sequels, we had other related series, and a full animation series that went right along with it. So there you go. Zone of the Enders is our game.
Not bad for a game most people bought just to check out the demo for another game. But
indeed,
that happens sometimes. I seem to remember, what was it? The Final Fantasy VII demo was with...
Oh, it was that fighting game that was
guys?
Done... No. It was done by... No, that was... Was it Final Fantasy...
Maybe I'm thinking Final Fantasy VIII was with Brave Fencer Musashi.
I remember getting Brave Fencer Musashi.
But there was another demo that came out.
Tobal number one.
Tobal.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a series that should continue on.
Yeah, right?
Tobal number two was pretty fun, too.
It was. Yeah.
But it only came out in Japan.
All right. Well, there it is. Zone of the Enders, the classic game of the week. And I think Dar Soccer might be having a go. I don't know.
I could do my last story.
You want to do your last story?
Yeah, why not?
Do you want to do it now? Or are you
yeah,
gonna
I'll
wait?
Do it now.
Okay, so let me skip ahead here. So go ahead and do your
Sorry
last story.
Sorry about that. Well, it's a really quick thing anyway. You know how in the other Animal Crossings we could cheat with different memory cards and other systems and whatnot? You can have one island per Switch. Even if you have other game cartridges, save files, you have one island per Switch.
Oh, so if multiple people play on that Switch, it'll be kind of like the GameCube one where you could have like four people on your memory card type of thing.
Exactly. And that's it.
All right. I'm still looking forward to the game.
Oh, totally. Well, honestly, I'm kind of pleased for that because I'm tired of people, you know, cheating and getting something in one place versus the other. So whatever.
It's okay. Nintendo's just saying... Oh, you want some more islands? Well, we've got some brand new things we'd like to show you.
Check it out in our new Tom Nook DLC corner.
I am.
Hey, we've got so many different Switches. Did you try the Switch Lite? It's pretty nice.
I want them to do an Animal Crossing Switch Lite. I'm not going to spoil on other things that might be talked about later on, but I really want a Switch Lite so that I can have something that doesn't have detachable parts to take in my bag.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. All right, well, thank you, Dark Sakura. Have a great night. Sorry about the work schedule, and we'll see you next week.
You didn't give me the crap schedule.
I know. I didn't do it.
All right.
All right. We'll see you next week. Meanwhile, let's move on over to Loki. What do you have for us?
So this is pretty incredible. So you may know that Flash is they're basically ending support for Flash December 31st of this year.
Yes, my Google Chrome browser tells me that every
I know.
Fucking
all the
it
time
gets.
It's like, dude. Fuck off. I checked my calendar. It's not December 31st, so you can fuck right off, you know. So in the meantime, though, to prepare us for the world without Flash, comes Flashpoint. It is basically archiving thousands of old classic Flash games that you may have enjoyed. And you can check this all out for free. These are all downloadable and playable on your computer. So it includes, you know, stuff from, you know, many sites like Miniclip. It is a very large, what the hell is this? It's a very large.
That car horn is not, it's not coming from your computer?
No, it's not my computer. It's a very large
archive. Did the Super
Bowl
just end? Did the Niners fucking win? Because if they won, that's all we're going to hear all night.
Horns.
Yeah, riots and shit.
Anyways, very large archive.
Oh, no, Tiger Claw says the Chiefs won. Thank God. sorry, not sorry. Like, y'all could behave when your team wins a game, then I wouldn't care. But people don't know how to fucking behave. So apparently we have a Chiefs fan across the street. Wonderful.
Anyways, so you can download the archive. They have several different things, like different sets of games that are in here. The whole archive itself is like 290 gigabytes, which is quite large. But you don't have to download everything. You can actually
that's still
sort
pretty impressive because you could most hard drives they sell now are like 3 terabytes.
So oh
could,
right.
You could fit decades.
I'm
of
not.
Flash
I'm not saying that it's impossible to store that much data on your system. I mean, it's very possible. I'm just thinking that's a good third of your bandwidth cap right there. You know, if you think about it. So, yes, if for whatever reason, you know, of these 36,000 games that are included in here, your favorite game is not among them, you can actually suggest that they archive other games as well, and they will go ahead and do that. But, yeah, it is very large. They have a master game list that's in here and everything. PopCap. Yeah, it's just... I don't even know what half of these what is half of this of like pencilkids.com?
It's very clearly a bunch of sites you probably never checked out ever. Do they have Don't Shit Your Pants a Flash game?
I don't know. It may have been. I know that like
it's one of my all-time
favorite
games.
They had a trailer though that was like showing off some of the games that were in there, like some of the stick fight games. They had, I think, one of the original versions of Super Hot was Flash game.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, lots of really classic stuff.
I knew someone would ask, so I have to answer this. Pog Culture in chat says Flappy Vog, because Flappy Vog, you know, is available at vognetwork.com. Mr. Black Wolf built that in Unity, so I do not believe it uses Flash. I don't know.
No, it does not.
No,
it's
it doesn't.
HTML5.
It uses like a it's a HTML5. So
you'll
it,
be happy
it will not
to,
be part of the archive.
You'll
Sorry.
Be happy to know that Don't Shit Your Pants is part of the archive
Yay!
Already.
Yay! One of my all-time favorite Flash games.
Yes.
All right. It's the reason why I love that game so much is this. It's the sound it makes when you lose. just the whole ending sequence of the game when you do in fact shit your pants. It's that little like instead of a sad trombone, it makes this little like like.
But yes, there's too many games for me to even go into, but definitely go check it out.
We're going to read the name of all 36,000 games right now, starting with.
It's going to be a whole lot of Monkey Go Happy games because they have a ton of them.
Fifth Dream Today in chat says they're also archiving Flash animations. So, oh my God, wee! Forever. Oh, good. Does that weren't Strong Bad emails in Flash?
Yes.
Then I hope to God somebody's preserving those.
I would think that.
Hey, you're back.
A lot of people have been going back and redoing things in HTML5. Just saying.
Oh, good. Important update. Thank you. All right. let's see. Other comments in chat. Let's see.
There are Unity games though that are part of this. So maybe some of the older Unity games. So they have like some Terry Kavanaugh games. I don't know.
Oh yeah, so, like would the original Hexagon Super Hexagon be a Flash game? Maybe?
I don't know. None of this seems to be organized in any sort of manner. So they've got like it's Snowdrift, Red Sky, Radio Silence are the three games they list for Terry Kavanaugh. Hmm. CB2, I guess he's a lot of this old stuff.
Well, and let's be real. Probably the Flash game you are most concerned about is Frog Fractions. Like, I mean, as much as I hype up other Flash games, Frog Fractions really probably is the all-time greatest Flash game. So you might wonder, like, what happens to Frog Fractions when Google Chrome and the other browsers no longer run Flash? Well, the good news is Frog Fractions, the game of the decade edition, has appeared on Steam. It will have a mid to late 2020 release, so no idea when that will actually happen. And maybe you forgot what Frog Fractions is. Great. Even better. Even better. Just play. Go in blind.
I still haven't played the second one yet.
Yeah. Apparently the second one is like one of those, the sequel, never as funny as the original. But I'm here like people are like, it was okay. But it just like, in the second one, you kind of to expect the randomness of what Frog Fractions is. In the first game, you weren't expecting.
You were expecting just to do fractions?
Well, yeah. I mean, you kind of think, okay, this is going to take a disturbing turn. And then like, what the fuck? Like, you know, the first game has a lot of those moments where it's like, what the fuck? And like, you know, it's kind of like, oh, you expect those in the second game. So
I should
different.
Make my kids play that game.
You should. That'd be funny.
That would be funny, the film.
Anyway, so that's very good to hear that Frog Fractions will be making a return on Steam. And honestly, I'll probably buy it because I'm a consumer whore. I am a whore for Frog Fractions. Ain't that the truth?
Hell yes. The Flash game for Fast Five is part of this as well.
Is it really?
In The Simpsons, Homer Adventures.
All those terrible movie tie-in games are probably part of it.
Drunken Wrestlers.
Huh. This is a Twitch stream in the making, going through and playing some of the old Flash
games.
Candy
Mountain Massacre Revenge.
Wait, is that based on the YouTube Candy Mountain?
Charlie the Unicorn?
Gotta go to Candy Mountain.
No, they have the finale, though. They're starting to put the finale out. Have you watched any of that yet?
I did not even know in the year of our Lord 2020 that Candy Mountain was still a fucking thing.
Yes, it is. They had a Kickstarter a long time ago, and they finally just started putting out the finale, and the first episode was super long and had nothing to...
Has anyone out there watched beyond the first one that, you know...
I've watched all of them, and I've watched Charlie Teh Unicron, which is hilarious.
Okay.
I am a big fan.
Do you make the kids watch it?
I did make the kids watch it.
Did they like
it? I did not make them watch all of the llamas with hats. Some of them, because it started to get a little violent, but they thought it was funny.
Right. Let's move on. We're going to travel around and check out some quick news from around the globe.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about what we're going to be getting for free with our mandatory subscriptions.
Subscriptions are mandatory. Please enjoy this free game.
So for Games with Gold, we get, let's see, looks like TT Isle of Man. And
do you get to see some TTs in the Isle of Man?
It is a motorcycle racing game. Oh, sorry.
Joy.
And Call of Cthulhu.
Okay, cool.
On Xbox 360, compatible games, Fable Heroes.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if that's cool because it looks terrible, Fable Heroes. In Star Wars Battlefront, the old one.
Oh.
So those are going to be coming in February.
Okay.
In the PlayStation side of things, we are going to be getting BioShock the Collection.
Okay, that's really rad.
Pretty awesome.
A lot of people, a lot of speculation that this is coming out as a free, in quotes, game, because there's the new BioShock will be one of the big reveals at PlayStation 5's reveal.
I hope so. The Infinite was great. I mean, all of them have been pretty... The only one I haven't played through is 2. I played through 1 and Infinite.
2 was different because Ken Levine wasn't directly involved with 2.
But, like, I played... And I didn't do the DLC on all that stuff as well, but I don't know. I don't think you need to. It's not really the full game.
I hope the news about BioShock making a return on the next generation is true, though. Which, by the way, real quickly, just aside with PlayStation 5 and reveals and all that, there was a fake tweet going around this last week from an account that looked like it was the official PlayStation account, but it wasn't. If you check the spelling, it's wrong, and there's no check mark on the account. And it was trying to say PlayStation 5 unveiled February 15th at the theater in the PlayStation Theater in New York. That was a false tweet. So if you retweeted that going OMG or whatever, congrats, you fell for a misinformation campaign. Granted, it was probably somebody in their basement just acting like a fool or somebody trying to impress their friends by going viral with a lie. But unfortunately, there's a lot of that type of bullshit on Twitter. So please, please, please be careful when you retweet things. If something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. If you're only reading about it on Twitter and nowhere else, I mean, it depends what we're talking about. If we're talking about people on the ground at a scene somewhere where something is unfolding, then maybe. But even in those cases, you always have some jackass that isn't really there that's trying to put their own thing into it. So just, you know, be careful and don't be the one that spreads around misinformation. Anyway, I just had to – because I saw a lot of that retweeted with OMG. And I'm like, y'all, Twitter security 101. Come on.
All right. The Sims 4 is the other game that we'll be getting in the PlayStation VR Firewall 0 Hour. So check those out. I don't think I have the collection. I have the collection on PC, so I'll have to...
I definitely don't have it on PS4. I have both those games. I think at one point they gave out BioShock and BioShock Infinite on PS3. Like you go way back to PlayStation Plus back then. I think they gave those games away before, but we haven't seen the remaster.
They're good. It's worth going through. Oh, for sure. I haven't played those in a while. Infinite was super great.
Yeah.
And then also we have speaking of nostalgic and Flash, the Behemoth, they talked about what their next project is going to be, which is Alien Hominid Invasion. So it's going to be a all new reimagining of the first game that the studio put out. And of course, you may remember them not only from Alien Hominid, but of course, Castle Crashers. So we'll have to see what this is going to be. It says it's going to be a co-op arcade shooter similar to Metal Slug. But, I mean, Hominid was pretty fun, and Castle Crushers was fun, so this is probably going to be fun. Can't wait.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Mentioned earlier in the show by Dark Sakura, kind of referenced here, there is a new Animal Crossing Switch coming out. She's just a little irritated it's not a Switch Lite. It is a regular Switch with the dock. But if that's what you're looking for, it's fucking cute. Like, I cannot justify spending $300 because something's fucking cute. But if I didn't have a Switch yet, this would probably be the one I'm getting. It's coming out on March 13th, and it's going to have very cute green and blue. They're kind of like the colors of the ocean a little bit, so that kind of like softer green and blue. Those are the colors. It's not an Ingress Switch, is that? It's different types of green and blues that are showing up. But I think it's really cute. And there will be a dock that actually has little Tom Nook and his kids on it. And then like the Switch itself on the back is really adorable. And yeah, honestly, if I didn't have a Switch yet, or like I'm finally breaking down and getting a Switch because of Animal Crossing, like this would be the way to go, unless you really want a light for your situation. Then unfortunately, nothing has been announced for you yet. And I kind of feel like with this news, they're not going to announce a light. Anything's possible, I suppose. But doesn't look bloody likely. So, anyhow, also in other news, we have a story about Ninja's management firm, which is trying to figure out what the name of it is here. Anyway, the firm that he is with is trying to reach out more into diversity. Which I think is a good thing to talk about. You know, we've talked a lot about these streamers that have moved from Twitch to YouTube or Twitch to Mixer. And, you know, we got a lot of white dudes in there, which, you know, there's a lot of cool white. I like to think Loki and I are pretty cool white dudes. But you know what? I know some pretty cool women. I know some pretty cool people of color. And all these people do streaming as well. And it would just be nice to maybe see, you know, some folks in the big leagues that are a little bit more reflective of what the population of the entire world looks like and not just one part of it. One very small part of it. So, yeah, I think this is very good that, you know, they're trying to push to get more folks, you know, signed with this and pushing forward with trying to bring a little more diversity into the streaming world, which is great. So let's see. I'm trying to see where the action is here. Oh, Loaded is the name of the company. Thank you. And they represent 36 gaming content creators. 5 of them are women. And they're saying, we're actively seeking to diversify our portfolio of talent, not just because it's the right thing to do, but because it's also what's best for the business and industry. Those who are in a position to should be thinking about this and doing what they can to more accurately represent diversity within their ranks and content. In order to accelerate this, leaders in our industry need to support women and other minority groups to create a more inviting and supportive landscape for everyone. It's something Loaded will be intentional about, and I look forward to playing a big role in our strategy there. So, best of luck, and I hope we hear about some more names from all types of individuals. So let's travel around the world and check out some release dates. Let's start in the U.S. Loki.
All right. We've got, I guess this is tying in with the new show, but the Dark Crystal Age of Resistance Tactics. Say,
you know, they just screened that. While I was out of town for work, Alan went to the Crest and saw like a screening. I guess there it's in movie theaters for a hot minute too. So yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
That's coming out on PC, Mac, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. We have Zombie Army 4 Dead War. That's on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And Grand Blue Fantasy Versus on PlayStation 4. Marooners on Nintendo Switch. And Crash Drive 2 on Nintendo Switch. That is it.
All right. Let's go to Japan and check out some of the releases coming out there now that we're getting into February, if you can believe it. Getting into February's releases in Japan, I don't think there's a ton of stuff. In fact, this week, I think we just have some peripherals coming out, some stickers and things. I don't see any games, at least on the Switch. I know there's a new Hatsune Miku game coming out next week, but we'll talk about that next week. In the meantime, let me see if there's anything on PlayStation 4 that is on its way. Oh, yes, we have a little bit more on the PlayStation 4. Grand Blue Fantasy Versus is out this week. A game called Is It Wrong to Try to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon? Infinite Combat. I feel like we had a similarly named game before, and it was an anime-based thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can tell you right...
That question shall be answered this week in Japanese releases. Is it wrong to try to pick up girls in a dungeon? Grand Blue Fantasy Versus, also out on the PlayStation 4 this week, and Ease 9, apparently a new pressing of that, because I think that game's been out, but I guess a new version of it. And also a rugby game, Rugby 20, meaning for 2020, I'm sure, also out in Japan this week. How about the UK?
All right. UK don't have a whole lot coming out, mainly just Monster Energy Supercross 3 on PlayStation. We have Xbox, Switch, and PC. Zombie Army 4 Dead War on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. And that's it.
All right, let's move on to the email bag. Every week you guys send us emails. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send those emails. And we read some of our favorites here on air. So you should send us an email for a future week. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. And we're going to get to our, I think this is the one and only email we have this week. Yeah. So our email tonight is from Rob. I like your name. I don't recognize the email, so I don't think this is the Rob, and this is only Rob with one B like me, so I don't
think...
It
says Rob.
It's just plain Rob, like me. It's one B. So I believe this is a new emailer, although I could be wrong. So I apologize if you've emailed before, but usually Dark Soccer does this, so I will just say, I'm new here. Anyway, we have a pretty lengthy email, so let's get to it. Dear OLR, I recently rewatched the legendary documentary King of Kong, and it really made an impact on me. For those who have not seen it, King of Kong is the story of an underdog, Steve Wiebe, trying to beat the Donkey Kong arcade world record of Billy Mitchell. I know I've seen it, and I assume you've seen it as well.
Right? I have not.
Oh, you haven't? Okay, well, I've seen it.
I don't need to watch it.
I understand. Moving on, the interesting thing about watching this documentary again was that since I had first watched it in 2007, video analysis has proved that Billy Mitchell had actually illegally submitted his score using an emulator playthrough, which prompted Twin Galaxies to remove all of his records from their database. His good friend Todd Rogers held hundreds of records and also had his records removed after analysis proved that his scores were not even possible. Billy's other friend, Steve Sanders, openly admitted to cheating in Donkey Kong in the 80s. Were they friends?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess they would all be part of this interesting fraternity of, like, dudes who scored high in video games. But, like, did they send each other Christmas cards? Like, how... I feel like friends can be a very...
Who does that, though? Like, who lies about video game achievements? I mean...
I kind of think that's where the rest of this email is going. Let me finish it up. After processing all of this, it started to paint a picture in my head of what actually happened in the 80s when video arcade records were starting to be recorded. To me, it seems like it was a tight-knit group of record holders and Walter Day who protected each other, probably knowing full well that the scores were not legit. They knew that exposing the false high scores would compromise the integrity of Twin Galaxies and their tight-knit community. Hell, it even questioned if their small town of Otumwa was actually the video game capital of the world, whatever that means. Makes you wonder how many people were cheated out of the glory of a high score back in the day. Just curious if you thought this was a widespread issue within Twin Galaxies or just a few bad apples. Were you disappointed knowing one of the greatest video game legends turned out to be a shame? Would love to hear your thoughts. And that is from Rob. So, is Fifth Dream today suggesting this is Mr. Awesome? Is this Mr. Awesome secretly sending this email? This really does sound like a Mr. Awesome rant. This goes... Okay, the reason why they keep bringing back up Mr. Awesome is that goes back to when this program was on All Games Radio and the kind of flagship show over there, All Games Interactive. Because I remember I drove down to the studio. I was in L.A. once when they were doing All Games Interactive and Scott Rubin. And it was one of those Mr. Awesome episodes because he was showing up all the time. And I was like, oh, my God, what the fuck have I walked in? Like, it's like it was like a fucking soap opera, all this Twin Galaxy stuff. I don't even remember the details. I just remember the catchphrases like, you know, let me finish because I let you finish. All that stuff. And just it was crazy. Anyway. What do you think about this whole issues and Twin Galaxies and so forth?
I'm over it already. In fact, I wouldn't even say I'm over it because I never was even interested in it. So I'm very still uninterested in it. It's just drama and like shit I don't even care about. Like the only time I ever cared about like world records was when I did that stupid Ready Player One competition, which that was a whole bunch of bullshit anyways. It's like, Simple shit. Oh, hey, by the way, break a world record now. Okay, fuck you. How about that? I don't know. I don't care.
My answer to this is kind of complicated. I just think Twin Galaxies is a relic of a different time.
Yes.
Is what it really is. Like, Twin Galaxies is what existed in the 80s. Because, and one thing, okay, there's, because one little thing that, like, with your email where I'm kind of like, eh, I think there's kind of like a jump that's happening here is the part that talks about Billy Mitchell illegally submitted his score using an emulator playthrough, which prompted Twin Galaxies to remove all of his records from their database. They didn't have emulators in the 80s. I don't think you could emulate Donkey Kong accurately on a PC until the late 90s. When did MAME start? Mid-90s, late 90s? My point is, and I'm not discounting your points and some of this other crap that came out, and I'm well aware of the many conspiracy theories and all this stuff and the videos and all this stuff. Here's what it is. Do I think these guys are very good at video games from the 1980s? I do. Are they better than me? Yes, they are. Are they the best in the world? They're the best that this person, Walter Day, who put together this organization that nobody else was willing to do in the 1980s and run things his way, just whether you liked it or not, and this whole thing, you know, with the videotapes and all that stuff. This was what he was able to collaborate. And to his credit, for better or for worse, they were the first to try to make video games, video gamers, shall we say, a bit of a celebrity. It's because of things like Twin Galaxies that we later on ended up, getting the magazine spreads and things like this of these guys who were very good at video games. Were they the best in the world? Hard to say. They're the best that were able to be found through this process. They probably weren't the best in the world. They were – because, you know, there's always somebody better, right? Mm-hmm. But they were the best that was able to be found through this process. My point is, look at where we're at now in the year 2020. Lots of people can become video game celebrities because it's so easy to just start your own channel on Twitch or make a YouTube thing or do something else, right? And so now it's like more people – we're finding these awesome gamers all over because it's so much easier to kind of start your own thing. And, of course, with the technology and everything, now we get more exposed to things like emulators and some of these other things where people cheat. So are maybe some of these people cheating because – they want to hold on to some sense of relevancy? It's almost like a midlife crisis. Like, these guys were, what, 18, 20 years old in the 80s. So how old are they now? They're at, like, 50s and something like that. And maybe are there some that are willing to go to a length that is somewhat questionable to maintain some sense of relevancy in an era that is making the video game celebrity culture of the 1980s and maybe early 90s irrelevant today? Perhaps. But are they all cheating on purpose? I don't know. Hard to say. I haven't – I'm not going to – and respectfully, I'm not going to waste my time on five-hour YouTubes that dissect these, you know, did Billy Mitchell play on a Rogue machine and submit his score that way? I don't fucking know, to be honest. The reality is we know there's a better Donkey Kong player, right? And it wasn't either of these guys. It was that dentist, right? Or no – God, it's even gone fucking back and forth, right? There was the dentist guy.
I don't know, and I don't care. I've already, like, exactly. So lost interest in it.
But now that we're in the year 2020 or even the late 2010s, if we're talking about just the recent past couple of years, the easeability of filming your own thing and putting it out there, you don't necessarily need something like Twin Galaxies to be a warehouse of all these records that go through a stringent screening, because you can just make your own, put it on YouTube and say, here's my score, here's my receipts, bam. I don't need Walter Day's blessing in order to claim that as my score, where in the 1980s you did. So I just – my long-winded answer here is to kind of say, like, I just think the culture has changed so much that we don't need a pope to bless these high scores anymore, that Twin Galaxies in that form is not really relevant anymore. And that's why we talk about these Otumwa jokes and things where it's like they're trying to hold on to that relevancy, but it's unfortunately technology and where we've gone. It's just not the same. Now, I'm not going to talk shit about Twin Galaxies as an organization because, A, I don't really know what they're doing these days. But I would hope they've kind of maybe transformed. I think they were running like a media network, a channel at some point, maybe celebrating classic gaming. And cool, that's what it should be at this point is, you know what, we're going to celebrate classic gaming. We're going to still party like it's 1985 and that these are, you know, the big games of the moment and so forth. But the reality is the culture and the celebrity and all that shit has changed. As far as Billy Mitchell cheating and all that, my only counter question, because this is the thought that comes to mind. Does he know maybe he's cheating in every circumstance? Like, here's the thing. I've played a lot of Pac-Man machines over time. I couldn't tell you which ones were running on an emulator potentially or which ones were tweaked behind the scenes to possibly produce a different score. If he was playing machine at a different place, is it possible that he just didn't know the machine? I don't know. And I know there's a lot of Billy Mitchell haters out there that would say, yes, he knew. It was all a scam and all that stuff. Maybe. I don't know. But I just also kind of think maybe he wasn't in on it. I mean, he was good at Donkey Kong. He's played the game live for people before and so forth. Is he the best in the world? I guess that's debatable at this point. Is he better than me and most people? Probably.
Yeah.
Definitely. So here's another thing about Billy Mitchell you may not be aware of. I've met the guy. I've met the guy a couple times. I don't expect that he knows me or recognizes me by name or anything, but it's not about that. I'm not big on celebrity culture anyway. But I've met the guy a couple times, and I'm going to tell you something. He's a pretty nice guy and nothing like what you see in the YouTubes and the movies and all this stuff. Billy Mitchell that you guys all see is playing a character. He's playing a part. Just like Paris – you know, just recently Paris Hilton came out and said, yes, I was playing a part that whole time during A Simple Life. I knew exactly what was going on and where I stood. And there's some people that say, yeah, right. And there's other people that say, I knew it the whole fucking time and I'm one of those people. I knew it. Paris Hilton's fucking smart. I know. I said it. Quote it, put it on the back of the box. Paris Hilton's fucking smart. She knew what she was doing that whole time, making money and so forth. Sometimes you're playing a character and it's one of those things where, like, you know what? Even the negative coverage, it's still coverage. It's getting you talked about. It's selling hot sauce, you know, or whatever it is, right? So, but, like, I've been around when Billy's having one-on-one conversations. He's had one-on-one conversations with me. And this might shock you. He's just a normal fucking person. He's just a normal person, like you, like me. I'm a normal fucking person too, really. I am. So people only put these guys up on pedestals because, I don't know. So, I don't know. And I'm not talking bad about Billy Mitchell. I'm actually not. I'm actually telling you guys he's a nice guy. But I also don't get into all these weeds and all this stuff about, you know, all this. So. I don't know. Those are my long thoughts. I'll check chat. Loki, you have any thoughts on this?
No, still not interested in what, you know, I get it. You're good at playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, at some point you're not going to be the best and then you just have to get used to it.
Let's see. Some comments in chat. Fifth Dream Today says, I'm friends with people who have been in movies and in bands. Everyone is just people. That's very true. Retro DeLorean in chat says, is there an equivalent of Billy Mitchell for pinball machines? I don't know if you're the person who sent these emails, but we actually did get a follow-up and I just fucking closed it because I'm a genius. But essentially that was the question. The follow-up was for Dark Sakura, who I'm sorry, she's left the building, so I can't ask her directly. I'll have to ask her for next week. But is there an equivalent of that in the pinball world? And my answer is I don't think so. I don't know anyone with that kind of personality, but they haven't really done movies of pinball besides like Tommy. But that's very different. So I don't think that exists, but there certainly are world record holders, I'm sure, in pinball as well. And I would say a lot of – we just after OLR last week, we hosted some people playing a Theater of Magic machine out in the pinball world. So everything I said about the culture has changed, and you can broadcast your own high scores. You don't need to go through a central hub or anything to do that anymore. Would be true about pinball as well. So if there is a celebrity, I would say just hearing Dark Sakura when she talks about like the pinballs and classic games of the week, I would say the pinball makers are the more celebrities in that world because she talks about certain machines by certain people and that's what she plays. So I think the celebrity has probably went to them. Tiger Claw in chat says, how do you make movies about pinball interesting? Dude, the same way somebody made King of Kong. Is Donkey Kong that interesting for 2 hours? No, but it was the drama, the good guy versus the bad guy. It was all that shit that made people get into that movie at the level they did. It was a very well-done documentary. There's another one, and God damn it, I can't remember the name. I don't think it was Chasing Ghosts. Maybe it was. But there was another one. God damn it. And it was a very obscure arcade game the two were playing. And the guy was supposed to, like, mimic the performer. They was going against each other at, like, MAGFest. I remember, like, one of the early MAGFests was the climax of the film. It was, like, an early MAGFest towards the end. It was a snake game that they were playing. And I think the name of the movie had something to do with snakes. Anyway, that was another one that I'd watched. That was it. Yes, Dark Tetsuya, that's right. Man vs. Snake. That was the name of it. Which, I know, it doesn't sound like a video game movie. It sounds like something a little perverted, but it was very much. Yes, Nibbler. That was it. Thank you, Dark Tetsuya. That was the documentary I'm thinking of. That was an interesting one as well. Other comments in chat. Let's see. SG100 Matt says, the documentary was good. It did take some liberties with the drama. It made it seem like Billy dodged Weeby when he really didn't. Fifth Dream Today says, I've heard Billy intentionally acts like a jerk whenever a camera's on him, but is otherwise an okay guy.
True.
Questbuster says, back then you had to have a trusted someone as a witness, VHS tapes, photographers, and then check a monthly magazine for local scores, if even that. Lots of holes for anything to happen back in those days. Oh, and Retro DeLorean does say in chat, I submitted this question and I can assure you I am not Mr. Awesome. All right. Well, you better not be. All right. No, I'm just kidding. So but thank you for the email. I mean, it's an interesting topic, and I see why people get into it, and I think the documentary has really, like, perpetuated that a lot. But I think the reality is it's like, you know, the standards of tracking video game scores and video game accomplishments in the 1980s was just different than it is today. And look at the celebrity culture around gaming today. It's not necessarily about high scores. Is Ninja good at Fortnite? Well, he is kind of good at Fortnite, actually, from what I understand, because he plays a lot of it, right? But is he the best in the world at Fortnite? I don't think he is.
No.
Some of the best streamers out there and, you know, the people that are the celebrities now aren't necessarily the people that are great at video games. So, you know, anyway. All right. Great question, though. Thank you very much for that. And that was our only email this week. If you would like to send us an email for a future week, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. We do have some more stories for you guys before we get to opening up Discord to see if there's any calls tonight, even though I know tonight is a little weird with all that's going on the television and so forth. Although I guess that did wrap up. But I think more and more people are tuning in now that that's over. But, you know, I understand. Some people are like Bobby Blackwolf didn't do a show tonight because he went to a party. And it's like the one time a year he gets to see certain people. So it's like, I get it. So, you know,
yes.
I may not be into the Super Bowl, but I understand it's a cultural thing for some people. All right, but we have some stories. Let's get into it.
Yes, so we talked. This has been a while since we talked about this, but you may remember there was a company in Japan that was operating a Mario Kart type go-kart experience where you dress up in costume and drive go-karts around Japan.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
Well, is formerly known as Mari-Car. They got in trouble with Nintendo before. Nintendo said, stop doing that. And then they basically say, hey, we're unrelated to Nintendo. But then they went ahead and did it again, as now Mari Mobility is the new company.
Mari Mobility.
Clever. Apparently now Nintendo has been awarded a total of $50 million in response to this, basically saying that Nintendo said it would continue to take steps against violations of intellectual property and brands and has worked hard to establish over many years. I mean, kind of had it coming. They already got warnings saying, hey, you can't do this. Stop it. You know, what, cease this. And they're like, we're going to do it anyways. And they're like, okay, well, you're just going to get sued then. So,
well, you know why now, especially, too. Where do you get to play official Mario Kart simulations in the very new future, starting in Japan?
Yes, in Japan.
At Universal Theme Parks. Yes. Yep. So it's the Universal Theme Park expansion, I'm sure, this is probably one of those things where Universal's tapping Nintendo on the shoulder saying, hey, I doubt
it had anything to do with Universal. It's more of just like, hey, you know, you guys are you're kind of borrowing from our property, you know, and we've already asked you to stop. In fact, they said that they were originally awarded 10 million yen, but they apparently they tried to appeal. And so as part of that appeal, they increased the damages to 50 million. So that's hilarious.
Well, so if Nintendo says to stop, you probably should stop.
Yeah, because here's what the site said. So Mario Mobility, they said, we at Street Carts, and this is horribly broken English, we at Street Carts is providing our service as usual. Street Carts is fully complied, as I see through, local governing laws in Japan. Street Carts is in no way a reflection of Nintendo, the game Mario Kart. We do not provide rental of Mario costumes.
Oh, people are showing up in Mario costumes, probably taking pictures and stuff, though.
I don't know about that, but probably. Like, it, I mean, just from the pictures before, you know. Yeah, I don't know.
I thought they had a thing like this in the States, too. Like, there was something in L.A. or something that was kind of like this. Well, and then, you know what? So, we're not far, because by your laser tag place, there is a go-kart place.
Yes, yes.
And I've only done that one time ever. But the one time I did it, I was like, this is like Mario Kart in real life, but without the shells.
I haven't been there since they, because the original place that was there, they were gas-powered go-karts when I originally went there. So you had to, like, when you were racing them, you had to put on the full helmet. You had to put on a jumpsuit.
Oh, is it not like that anymore?
They're electric now.
Oh.
And so they're quieter. They don't smell like fuel all the time.
Yeah, that whole place smelled like gasoline.
Yeah, no, not anymore. It's all electric. So, and before, it used to be split up into two different tracks. They had, like, a really short track and then a longer track. Now it's all one huge track.
Oh, okay.
And so it's way different now, but I just haven't gone to do it because it's expensive.
I think we need to do something for OLR. We need an OLR team building night.
We should totally do that. You know what I've been doing lately, though? I've been going rollerblading.
Oh, really?
We went to the rink twice.
Oh.
It was super.
The rink that's in between all this stuff?
No, not that rink. Sunrise Rollerland. But,
oh, okay.
You know, because my kids got skates now, and they have this new thing where, which is kind of cool. So you can sign them up for, like, it's like $4 a kid, and then they'll send you coupons each week for 2 free skating sessions every week forever. So it's like, it pays for itself already.
Interesting.
But yeah, I enjoy it now that I've got my nice skates.
All right. Well, moving on to another story about when Nintendo tells you to stop, you should probably stop. We have other news this week that a California man is getting in a lot of trouble with Nintendo and for some other pretty big reasons as well. This guy's a resident of Palmdale. His name's Ryan Hernandez. He pleaded guilty to federal charges of hacking Nintendo systems, which is computer fraud and abuse, and possessing child pornography, which is definitely the worst thing that he did. But being that we're reading stories from game blogs, these game blogs tend to focus on the video game part of the story. But the video game part of the story is that he phished Nintendo employees to get credentials in 2016 and used that to get confidential information, which was then leaked to the public. Details about the Nintendo Switch even leaked before March 2017 when it was actually debuted. This all according to court records. Now, the FBI caught him, and he said he would stop. But what happened?
He pulled a Mario car.
Oops.
Mario Mobility.
I did it again. He got in, and the FBI seized the devices in June 2019. He broke into multiple servers, got information, bragged about it on his Discord and Twitter while leaking other data elsewhere. He also shared vulnerabilities in Nintendo's network with the community. Big yikes to all that. But if you ever wondered where some of these leaks come from, realize that not all of it is my uncle works for such and such place. The phishing and all this shit, that stuff's very real. That's phishing. That's the you know how, like, in the news they always talk about Hillary's emails, butter emails, and all this. Well, the hacking of the DNC, which, to be fair, was a little bit different than the Hillary emails issue, but this all kind of got looped in together about email issues, right? So the hacking of the DNC, that was phishing. That was phishing. How did Russia get in and get those emails? And I'm not trying to, like, get into politics or pick a side. I'm just stating this is what happened. So Russia sent a phishing email to somebody that worked at the DNC who clicked on it, fell for it, gave the credentials, and that's how they got in and got the emails. Okay, non-political. Sony Pictures, when all that information got hacked. Remember all those emails from Sony Pictures when Kirio was pissed off about that movie that portrayed Kim Jong-un in a negative light, and then they hacked Sony Pictures and got all that shit on the internet?
Yeah,
that was a phishing email as well. So, like, a lot of places of business in this day and age really train their employees to not fall for phishing
emails.
Yeah,
they keep sending us fake phishing emails all the time.
All
and if
the
you
time.
Accidentally click on it, then they're like, You got to watch another training video. It's like, ugh.
Yep. So just something to think about when you looked at leaked information. It may not have always come from the cleanest of sources. So just saying, this is what it is. Anyhow, so this plea bargain, he will be sentenced to 3 years in prison, $259,000 in restitution to Nintendo, and will be registered as a sex offender. He will be sentenced on April 21st, but it would be, I guess, even – so he took a plea bargain of 3 years, even though the child pornography can carry up to 20 years for that whole thing. So I don't know the ins and outs of all that, I'm going to admit, but he is going to prison. Because he said he would stop doing it, and he kept doing it anyway. And then, you know, you also have this whole hideous issue of the child pornography as well, which I don't want to, you know, overlook that as why this individual went to prison. So anyway, gross, ugly. I want to move on from that, but I did kind of want to make the point, you know what? So, and, you know, we talk about leaks and stuff here too. Granted, we talk about it when it's already on Twitter and all those other places. I mean, we're not going to be idiots and pretend, oh, this doesn't exist. But sometimes we have to remember these leaks and things, they don't always come from a squeaky clean source. So anyway, something to think about. Meanwhile, let's move on. We have a couple more stories for you guys. Loki.
All right. I don't know why you would want to do this to yourself, but you can. So apparently someone made a fan untitled Goose desktop app that basically is called Goose Desktop, and it's kind of a play on Entitled Goose Game, obviously. So what it does is it will actually unleash a goose onto your desktop, which will then do all sorts of things, including steal your mouse cursor. It will even pop windows open. I don't know why you would want to do this to yourself, But yeah, you can have it'll try to steal your screens.
That's the type of thing you prank your coworker with on their computer. Honk.
It is, yes. So yes, and if you're interested in checking it out, though, it is on itch.io, and I don't know if I would want to do this to myself. I think I would just drive myself nuts.
It would drive me a little nuts too. It's one of those things. Okay, it's
look kind
it's
of funny though.
Yeah, it's funny. Fifth Dream Today in chat says, I miss Windows 95 desktop buddies. Questbuster says, this reminds me, we need Indiana Jones desktop adventures back. You know, would y'all be mad if we made After Dark the classic game of the week some week? It's not really a game, but After Dark is kind of iconic. Y'all know what After Dark is? Do you know what After – you know After Dark.
It was the screensavers.
You remember
yeah.
the iconic flying toasters?
Yes, yes.
That was a screensaver. That was After Dark. So, and sometimes the screensavers were things that were like fucking with your desktop. Like there was like desktop shuffle that would just shuffle the pieces of your desktop in a like slide puzzle type of fashion.
So, yeah, so yeah, I'm looking at the little video or whatever. So it drags stuff onto your screen. It tracks mud all over the place and all of your stuff.
It's kind of funny.
It causes weird key presses and stuff that happen.
I should put that on Alan's computer when he's not here. Teehee.
That would be funny.
Yeah, for a minute, and then I'd get in a lot of trouble.
Yes, Goose Desktop, though. You can check that out. Samperson.itch.io/desktop-goose.
Install it on your grandparents' computer for a good time. All right.
Oh,
no,
God.
Don't actually do
that. No, no, no.
I did not tell you to do that. All right.
It's free. Free.
Love that price. Yeah. All right, moving on. A few more stories for you guys before we open up Discord to calls. And this one kind of ending on a sad note with this story. Well, I don't know if it's sad. It's just a sign of the times. Nintendo of Japan is soon going to stop repairing the Wii. So the Wii will no longer officially be supported. The Wii, of course, was released towards the end of 2006. And the Wii still was kind of going for a little bit. Just Dance 2020 came out on the Wii, after all, because of the Wii U and all
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
But all good things must come to an end. On their official website, Nintendo of Japan said they plan to terminate all the opportunities to officially repair the Wii. This means that Nintendo of America, Nintendo of Europe, and everybody else is going to follow suit very soon. Why are they doing this? Due to the, quote, difficulty of securing the parts necessary for repair. So the last date to get your Wii to Nintendo of Japan, if you need a repair on it, is March 31st, 2020. And that's it. So the end of an era. So the Wii will no longer be fixed. And if yours breaks, then it is just a broken piece of garbage. Plastic waste. Are you sad to see the Wii get retired?
You know, I had my Wii in the garage, and then when my sister had watched our cat while we were in Disneyland, she took it.
The only thing that kind of makes me sad about this is that, you know, there's so much on the Nintendo eShop that was on the Wii and then therefore the Wii U, because the Wii U is fully backwards compatible with the Wii. We know that. And I guess you could still – they haven't terminated support for the Wii U yet, but we kind of know that's coming, right? But my point is that there were a lot of cute games on the Wii shop, like let's say the Castlevania Adventure Rebirth, right? Mm-hmm. That didn't come out anywhere else but the Wii shop. Final Fantasy IV, The After Years. I do believe that came out in its 3D form in other places, but I think the only place to play that in 2D is on the WiiWare.
PC or PSP, I think, also had a...
Oh, you're right. You're right. But it was also different. It was the upgraded textures, not the original sprites that the Wii... The Wii version used, like, the original Final Fantasy IV sprites and everything. Yeah. So, good point, though, that the PSP had it. But, you know, it's just... My point is, it's just a matter of time before these cute little things that were on the WiiWare service, you're not really going to be able to play them anymore because systems can't handle them. And it's not like you can download these on the Switch or anything like that. Alan, if you want to give me candy, just come over and hand it to me.
I want to see gold things fly across the screen.
I'm not going to catch it. If you throw that, what is that little piece of candy that you're offering me? What is it? Offer me candy. Ooh, this looks... Is this a peanut butter cup? Fuck yeah. Do you want one, Loki?
No.
Oh, they're good. Dark Sakura brought... Ooh, three peanut butters. Dark Sakura brought cookies, if you want one of those cookies. Alan, do you want to say... I mean, we're ending a little early here. Do you want to say anything about your gaming or the things that you've been playing lately?
I updated Overwatch. It's on season 20. I know, like, this isn't my first time on camera. I updated Overwatch. They're on season 20 now. I think the last time I played was season 8 or 9, so it's been quite a while. There's only one new character that's been introduced, Sigma, since I played. As far as what competitive mode is like, the players, the attitudes, the slurs in chat, it's still bad, it's terrible. So this may be a shortly lived revisit, but
how do you feel about Overwatch 2?
It exists, it will exist, it's a thing that Blizzard announced. I feel similar to there's I guess a big football game that happened. I know that's a thing. A lot of people are invested in it. I'm happy for them, or sad, depending on who they rooted for. I feel similar about Overwatch 2. It's a property. Blizzard's, they're
not
having...
What about Warcraft 3? Reforged.
Yeah, well, I did not have any... I had no idea of all the stuff that that went on with, like, Warcraft 3 Reforged. All that news went right over my head. So when you told me that they turned off, like, Battle.net for the original OG Warcraft 3, Blizzard... They don't know what they're doing. Or they do, and they're terrible.
Toons is the driving cat is apparently running things over there right now. By the way, Alan, just because you are on camera, how much weight have you lost? You've lost a lot of weight.
In the last 12 months, I've lost about 30 pounds.
Congratulations. I'm not jealous or anything. So... No, Alan's been, like, doing, like, the CrossFit thing and the meal prep. I got him an Instapot for Christmas, and he uses it for meal prep. And you would think I would benefit from some of that weight loss stuff, but no, because I can't stop snacking. So there you go. You get some congratulations from our chat, by the way. So there you go. All right. Enjoy those peanut butter cups. You earned it. All right. Anything else we want to say about the Wii or any of that stuff? Let me see. I'm going to go see. I'm going to check
out
Discord.
It was a great system.
It was, and it said...
Where's my freaking Excite Truck sequel? Aside from Excite Bots, we don't count that.
VogNetwork.com/Discord if you want to get in our Discord and give us a call. Or if you have a quick question, you can always post something in chat as well. If you are like, I don't feel like calling, you can always pose a question here in chat if you'd like us to talk about something else. I don't know if we have any last-minute stories.
There was just something I saw on my Twitter feed I was trying to look up. It was basically something from Google saying that Stadia, people are complaining that there's not enough games on Stadia. And they're like... It's not our fault that we're not announcing games. If you want game announcements, you're going to have to talk to publishers to announce games that are coming to Stadia.
Google, I would encourage you to look at a product called the Wii U and why it flopped, and you might want to come up with a better answer.
Yeah, because they said, we understand the desire to hear more specifics on games. After all, that is what it is about. Games, of course. Not all 120 titles will be announced by the Stadia team, as we leave it up to publishers to make announcements about their IP/games and which platforms they'll appear on, just as we do with our exclusive content coming to Stadia. There are lots of reasons for timing of those game announcements. Anything from planned promotions to events, title readiness, proximity to the first playable demo, shareholder requirements, blah, 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 blah.
By the way, I'm glad you brought this up because you reminded me, oh, it's February now. I need to go grab the newest Stadia games. Because, again, I didn't buy Stadia, but my pal Bobby Blackwolf did, and he got a little friend pass thing, and he was kind enough to give that to me, which I think worked for like 3 months. So I think this is the month where it will run out. But I was able to claim February's free games. I forgot that it's a new one.
Oh, what do you get
so
for February?
I got, and I didn't even know what games there were. So the games I got were Metro Exodus.
Oh, that's cool.
And Gylt, G-Y-L-T, which I think that was their exclusive they had at launch, right? I think it was.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was their. Yeah, because it didn't launch until November 19th, 2019. And it's by Tequila Works, which I think was one of Google's in-house things. So, yeah, thank you, Pixel Pacos. Yes, that was the exclusive game. I thought so. So I'll have to check that out at some point. All right, we do have a call waiting in the green room, so why not? Let's get to it and see what our listeners want to talk about. So, hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, yep, we can hear you. What's your name?
Oh, cool. This is Retro.
Hi there. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, yeah, so I was the one that asked the question about the Billy Mitchell and all that, so I just wanted to assure people that I am not Mr. Awesome.
Yeah, am I crazy or did I pick up a Canadian accent there?
Yes, I am from Canada, actually.
So you're definitely not Mr. Awesome.
No, I am not Mr. Awesome. But yeah, I wanted to just set the record straight about the reason I was kind of interested with that was it was not so much even the drama. I just thought I thought that kind of whole segment of the internet that was talking about all that was really centered around all of this kind of culture that seems to be kind of coming forward, like more recently. It seems like with all these one-up cabinets and all the retro gaming aspects of it, I just thought it was kind of a neat topic that's coming forward now about like the legacy of all these players. And I just wanted to kind of hear your thoughts about that, just because I thought since you talk a lot about retro gaming and Jamie talks about the pinball and all that, that you might kind of, you know, have an interesting perspective on that.
I hope you were good with the perspective that I gave. I think, you know, but at the end of the day, it really is kind of about celebrity culture has really shifted. And I do think some of the good old boys from back in the day have probably really fought to remain relevant, and they may or may not, I don't know because I don't live in their houses and inspect their machines, they may or may not have done some shady things to try to stay relevant. But the reality is, and I think the best point that I made was probably towards the end there, when you look at the cult of video game celebrity today, is that it's not necessarily the people who are the best at video games that are the most famous because of it. Not to say that good gamers don't necessarily get, I mean, when you think about like Awesome Games Done Quick and an event like that,
yeah,
like, you know, those guys are in the spotlight. Now, granted, I couldn't, can you name some speed streamers that were with Awesome Games Done Quick recently? Yeah, it's.
I don't know a lot of them.
You don't recall their names as fast as you do Billy Mitchell.
I
do. You just recognize there's talent.
I only know like some of the Mario Maker streamers because I watch a lot more of those, like Carl Sagan, Grand Pooh Bear. I remember the rest of them, but like I know some of them by name just because I've seen a lot of their videos outside of GDQ, but yeah. I don't remember a lot of them, but if I followed it more, which I'm bad about doing, then yes, it might be something I would
Yeah, but the point is that, you know, you have a lot of really, really great game players that participate in those types of charity events and so forth, and it's just different now because, you know, back in the day, we didn't get our news instantly from Twitch and the internet and so forth. You had your gaming magazine. So a part of the gaming magazine was trying to build up this cult of gaming celebrities, and the squeakiest wheel who was doing it the most efficiently was Walter Day and the organization behind Twin Galaxies. And, you know, I don't think that should necessarily be discounted, but was it really accurately measuring who really was the best in the whole world? Probably not as well as we can look at that sort of things today, because it's much easier for anybody to be able to broadcast. But, you know, it existed. It was a thing. Maybe gaming wouldn't be in the same place it was today without it. But the reality is, if you don't evolve, you will fade away. And so if Twin Galaxies hasn't really evolved, and honestly, I haven't really kept up with them, but I think they are more like a celebration of classic games and kind of like a classic gaming corner. I think last I checked in on them, it was that type of thing. You know, or even take us here at Orange Lounge Radio. We've been doing this show way too fucking long. Like, we're coming up on 18 years of this program. And we've only been on Twitch for maybe the past year. And in retrospect, we should have done it way fucking sooner.
Yeah.
Well, we did, though. And this is the other problem. Sometimes you evolve too soon and you don't really see the benefits of it, because we were on Justin TV for a short time, but then it was like, this doesn't seem to be at. Nobody's really into this. What are we doing? Whatever. We're going to get rid of it. And so we went back to
the Google Stadia it.
Yeah, we did. We did. And we were, you know, on Shoutcast for many years, and, you know, it's continued to do the podcast and all that. But now that we're on Twitch and so forth, I think we've been able to expand our audience a little bit within the last year. And now I'm kind of kicking myself going, we should have fucking done this 3 years ago, you know, but it didn't work out. But, you know, we evolved too. I'm not trying to compare ourselves to Twin Galaxies, but I guess I just did. Anyway, so I've been talking an awful lot. Let me ask about your thoughts on this whole thing. So you recently saw the documentary. What's your take on this culture? Do you think that these guys have been lying to try to stay relevant, or what's your take on all this?
Well, I think, yeah, one really important part is that, you know, Billy Mitchell, his brand is, you know, part of his brand was, you know, that he was the record holder and, you know, he sells hot sauce for a living. So I think a big part of that, you know, his part of his livelihood, I think, was centered around that. And I had also mentioned in the chat, there was that also kind of the other side. It also came out in 2007, was Chasing Ghosts. So I thought it was a really interesting juxtaposition of the two kind of positions of one guy trying to like break into that and all the stuff he ran into. And then the other one seemed to be just more of a documentary on their lives. And, you know, a lot of what came out of it was, for me at least, was that you had all this urban legend growing up, like you heard about Billy Mitchell because of the internet, never really knew what that meant. And, you know, so to hear the whole story now, I don't know, I think it just kind of made him seem more human and just like all of us. And that's why that kind of dawned on me that all these guys were just, you know, they had their egos that, you know, because they were amazing back in the day, a lot of them. And then just the thought that you could hold on to that record forever, I think it's interesting, because I think back then you could, you know, or you could, at least it'd be really hard. But with the internet, you're always competing against someone. Like, for instance, I was looking at the Super Mario, like the original Mario speed record. And it seems like every week or every day they shave off point of a second or whatever that is, and it's just unachievable. So I just think it's a crazy cross-section of culture, of this idea of trying to be the best, and maybe it's just not, you know, maybe it's not as glorious as it once was in the 80s, because now you're literally talking about people that are going to be taking 6 months of their lives to just try to shave off these few milliseconds to beat a world record.
Mm-hmm. No, very good point. You know, and I'm kind of also thinking about, you know, somewhat of the culture of the 80s. And sometimes kind of like it takes a little bit of luck as well to sometimes be the one that's picked to be famous. And what I mean by that is, like, if I were to use like an equivalent from the 80s, since we're talking about, you know, the Twin Galaxies and, you know, when all these records were going on, let's talk about like when MTV kind of first came out and started making all these musicians famous. Let's take somebody like Madonna. Madonna was like the queen of MTV for a long time, and some would argue still is. But Madonna, let's be real, Madonna's not the best singer, right? But Madonna kind of knows how to play up the cameras, and Madonna's kind of a great performer, and Madonna knew how to play that role, especially in the 80s. I'm not really commenting on her now. You know, she'd been around forever. But Madonna in the 80s was great at being a celebrity. So in some ways, Billy Mitchell in a way embodies a lot of that as well. Billy Mitchell may not be the best, but Billy Mitchell embodied being a celebrity and kind of continues to do that in a way very well. Although, as many people would say, Madonna kind of peaked a few years ago and it's been an interesting decline. I think a lot of folks would probably say the same thing about Billy Mitchell and so forth. But it is very interesting. And even with music, you know, now a lot of people get music. They find people on YouTube. You know, it's like that's how Justin Bieber got found, right? You know, and I realize a lot of people make fun of him and so forth, but the reality is he has a record contract and you don't. How did they find him? They found him through things like YouTube, and now it's all these reality shows finding fucking people online and putting them front and center and so forth. So it's just very interesting how, you know, a lot of that has just evolved, and what makes a celebrity is very has very much changed. I want to read a comment here from Questbuster in our chat at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, who says, "It's crazy how Mitchell and the retro scene blew up in the last few years and so quickly, partially because of how accessible social media has made everything a 24/7 news cycle. With a faster news cycle, too, stars can rise and fall almost as fast. Back in the 80s and 90s, we just had magazines to tell us who the stars were, and they had 30-day reprieves until the next issue to see if they still retained their thrones." That's an excellent point. I think that's a good one to probably wrap up on. Any other thoughts, Rob, before we let you go?
And actually, the last thing, you just reminded me of something. Is it even possible that he is great, you know, benefiting from all this attention now? Because he has he's got a Twitch channel now. And so could this all be, like, isn't that what they say? Like, any controversy is good when you're at that level almost? Because now people are talking about, even the fact that we're talking, maybe is a good thing. I don't know.
Absolutely. And I would bet you this. Like, I'm not going to claim that this show has some gigantic viewership or listenership, but I'll bet you there'll be one person who listened to this who'll go, "Oh, yeah, Billy Mitchell had a Twitch. I wonder what he's doing over there right now." And he'll go visit it. And I think it just goes to show, even if they're talking bad about you, they're talking about you, and it's going to cause that curiosity. Or somebody's going to go look up the article on Wikipedia, or somebody's going to see if he has a Twitter or something like that, because you're kind of bringing his name out there, and people are going to be curious a little bit about, you know, what's he up to now. And that's just the interesting part about how this all works. So absolutely. Why do you think he has kind of an on-off switch in his brain a little bit where, you know, again, and as I mentioned, I'm telling you, he's a pretty nice guy off camera. But the minute the camera goes on, he's in camera mode, and he knows the part he has to play to get you to keep being curious about him.
So. Yep, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for answering all my questions, and it's been great talking to you. I've been a listener for about 15 years in the background, since my iPod mini, I think, is when I first downloaded it. So it's nice to finally call in and talk to you for once.
Well, wonderful. Awesome. To have you here. Thank you so much for your loyalty over the years, and I wish you well. Have a wonderful night. Okay,
thank you very much.
Yep, take care. Bye-bye. All right. Great phone call. Wow. That was a long time phone call in the making, too.
Yeah.
And see, that's where we're succeeding tonight, is places like Canada, where they don't have teams in the Super Bowl, or there's no Canadian football. Well, I mean, I know there's a Canadian Football League, but there's no Canadian football teams in the NFL, right?
Or
the
NFL, right? You're asking the wrong person.
All right. I don't think there are. I think I would know if there was like a Vancouver team or a Toronto team, and I don't think there are. So, all right. Anyway, cool. You know, I thought he was going to say, when I've been listening for 15 years, I started on my PSP. You know how many of that I get? That OLR PSP thing probably brought more. I always thought it was iTunes that brought the eyes to the show when that went live. I think OLR PSP probably brought more people to the show than anybody else. That's crazy. So,
well, it's too late now.
Yeah.
I'll never update it.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio, because I don't think you didn't have any other last minute stories, right?
No, not really. All right.
Well, then we'll go on to wrap things up. We're going to wrap things up here at Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys so much for listening in tonight. Whether it was your first episode or you've been listening for 15 years, appreciate you being here either live or in the podcast form. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend, help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to put out on air, then we can't have them. And we'd love to hear the interesting and diverse perspectives. So, yeah, help us spread the word. A nice 5-star review goes a long way as well. iTunes, or I guess you can't really review things on Spotify, but you can share. So there is that. So really appreciate that and all that support. We'll be back in 7 days to do it all over again. I keep thinking next weekend is Valentine's weekend, but it's not. We still have one more weekend in between. So, but for now, we're going to wrap up for the night and go around and get everybody's final thoughts. So, Loki, your final thought.
My final thought is I can't wait to be over this cold.
Oh, yikes. Feel better. I hope you didn't give it to me.
No, I got it from my wife. It was like almost like a flu thing, but I'm going through it a lot faster than she is.
You sound fine, too. So you're
I'm just congested. I was fine today.
Yeah. And my final thought is I did my tax return last night, and I'm getting way less money back than I have in previous years, which makes me a little bit sad. But oh, well. That is what it is. So I will cross my fingers and my toes that you all get, at least those of you in America that have to do your taxes this time of year. I will cross my fingers and my toes that you all get some good news as well. Anyway, or at least better news than I did. That's it. We're done. Enjoy gaming, everybody. We'll see you in 7 days. Have fun playing games and all that good stuff. Be nice to each other and, support independent broadcasting. We will see you in 7 days. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.